about.
Well, the Japanese would be proud. You waited until the meal was done. But at this point, hit me with it and let us both get on with our days.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I was just trying to make it sound like I didn't have a mouthful of nuts.
What?
I'm going to need just that nuts. Tape, Jeff.
Just eating some nuts.
Please mark Kevin's mouthful of nuts.
Bean, thanks your goddamn life.
Landon is 11, you guys. So this could be a defining moment in his life on how we handle this call.
Hey, Landon.
Hello.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, I just wanted to talk about how much I like Wiener Schnitzel.
Too many people on Earth. I think they're right. So we got to figure out a way to get to Mars. Make some more people up there or something. I don't know. It's getting crowded down here.
And now.
I know this guy down in Guatemala.
Our feature presentation.
I would like to know more about the guy down in Guatemala, come to think of it.
Well, then why'd you get rid of him so quick?
Dick.
Hey, wow, this is a tough start, you guys.
I mean, all he wanted to do was share his Wiener Schnitzel love. And you're like, I don't have time for that. Next call. Radiohead, what's better? No.
First of all, I was very confused by Landon. And maybe I'm just not smart enough to have followed his train of thought. But I was very confused by the whole Wiener Schnitzel chunk he was doing. I meant no offense to Landon, though. I'm sure he's a nice man.
He was adorable, and I loved him.
And I'm glad he called. And by the way, I thought about this, and not to get sidetracked right out of the gate here, but I think we should do a What's Good Kids edition, where you have to
because you treat kids so well.
I think I was very nice to Landon, by the way.
Oh, dear. Okay.
We should do like a under 13 or something like that kids edition of What's Good. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
I think that's your worst idea in a long time.
Really?
And you come correct on bad ideas.
Don't you want to hear what the little kids have to say? I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
You hate children.
I don't hate children. That's something that Kevin says, but it's not true. I don't want any children. I don't like being around children, but I don't hate them. I wish them well. I'm interested in how they develop as
good day, child.
I bet you do.
I think that would, I think that would be fun, though.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Hey, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday. It is St. Patrick's Day Eve, the 16th of March. If you guys know anything about me, it's that I am, I'll just say it, I'm a little bit of a gym rat. I mean, I can't stop
right.
working out.
It's true.
I'm exercise, exercise, exercise.
Yeah. I'm on a treadmill right now.
It's 2 bucks.
I am. I think my body fat is less than zero. Even my brain is a muscle. I mean, I work out.
Well,
okay, that's me. Yes. However, I will say that even I, when I was reading this article about Miss Chow Smith, who is 70, even I started to think maybe I'm not doing enough.
Okay.
She was born in Vietnam. She came to the United States in 1972. We see people like her every day as we go about our business. She owns and operates a dry cleaning business in Independence, Missouri. So you would go in there and you would, give your pants to Ham or something, and then you'd never think another thing of what she would be doing when she got done at the end of her day. Well, she says she lives a stressful life. Every day she works 10 hours a day, but she always feels better after she runs.
Okay.
That's her thing, is she is a runner. She mm-hmm. and her husband both love to run. Again, she's 70. Well, in January, she ran 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents.
No way.
Again, she's 70. Between January 25th and January 31st, she ran marathons in Perth, Australia, Singapore, Cairo, Amsterdam, New York, Chile, and King George Island, Antarctica. So every day, this 70-year-old dry cleaner from Missouri woke up and ran 26.2 miles. Then she would get on a plane, fly to the next destination, and do it all over again.
Just the travel exhausts me.
Yes.
The thought of going through the airport, putting my suitcase in. No, I am tired. I can't.
You would not even
no
be
marathon
able to
for me today.
Just thinking about a marathon, I'm like, no.
No, none of it.
You wouldn't even be able to wake up in the next country because you'd still be tired from the last country.
And the marathon I just ran.
Right.
Are these full marathons? Are these?
Yes.
No.
26.2 miles, yes. She didn't want to publicize this before doing it, says Steve Hibbs, who is the owner of a specialty travel company called Marathon Adventures, which organized the trip. She overcame a lot. It was just really impressive to see her run and complete the event. Nine other people joined Smith in running on all seven continents. She said, even though she's been running marathons for a long time, and by the way, in the past, she has run 10 marathons in a year. She has run had run four marathons in 5 weeks. But even for her, this was a lot. So it took her about 8 months to train. Some weeks, she ran up to 130 miles in training leading up to these marathons.
What is she running from?
That's a great question, Chip.
The most challenging race was in Cairo. The group's connecting flight from Singapore was delayed in Abu Dhabi, so they arrived in Egypt with just a few minutes to change before the race started. We had 10 minutes to go up to our rooms and to change. Couldn't even unpack. The key wasn't working in my room. I almost used up all 10 of my minutes. I was crying because she needed to get changed to get back down to where the marathon began so she could be there at the start of the race. I mean, this is some amazing race stuff, you guys. Isn't that something?
Hmm.
And by the way, that that marathon in Cairo, she ran in 5 hours and 51 minutes. Again.
Is that good?
That's super good, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not world class. It's not three, you know.
Loser, right?
But she's 70.
Oh, right.
But she's 70, and yeah. It was like her fifth marathon of the week.
I don't know. I don't think this is healthy. I know it sounds like it's extra healthy, like, oh, she's that's great. Mm-hmm. That can't be good for your body.
I would
just
feel
the strain on your knees, the strain on your ankles, the strain on your heart, and then all that up and down in the air and the altitude and the snot. So much snot. Like, people are always sick on a plane. So she's getting those germs. It's too much. I won't allow it. I reject this story. Period.
I mean, the truth of the matter is you do hear about people in their older years, like in their 70s, who turn wrong and snap a leg, you know what I mean? Or fall in the bathtub and break a hip.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. She is punishing her body, but it sounds like this is the only way she wants to live. It sounds like she's just happy when she runs. So maybe it's worth it for her.
Oh, I would assume it's definitely worth it for her. You don't do this because you hate it. And yeah. I don't think a 7-year-old is doing it for the story, you know?
Right, exactly, yeah. By the way, she may do it again next year now that scientists are talking about reclassifying New Zealand as not just a country but as the tip of a microcontinent. She may do it again next year so that she can run the Triple Eight Quest and run 8 marathons in 8 days in 8 continents. It's all about challenging both the mind and the body's upper limits. What can you handle? What upper threshold can you push past? So I'm definitely going to be thinking about Chow Smith when I – you know, hit the gym as we get into this next commercial. So, because I don't like to be away from it for any length of time at all. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Mead Show, shall we?
Just wait.
Well, I'm not going to wait, Landon, because the show is here. It's time.
Wait, play that again. Can you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just wait.
He's the two eyeballs kid.
Well,
he sounds just like him.
You're not the first person to mention that yesterday, but the Two Eyeballs Kid, that was recorded like 25 years ago.
Was it?
So this is Landon time traveling,
yes.
Apparently.
Yes, because of all that Wiener Schnitzel.
I got to tell you, the great John C. Reilly joins us next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Isn't he? He's the actor's actor, isn't he? He's incredible in everything he does.
He is.
He's one of the stars, and I haven't seen it yet, but I hear he steals the movie of Kong Skull Island. So we've got him next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie filled out her bracket yesterday for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm winning.
You can compare notes with our friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas.
Excellent.
We'll check in with him, find out how we can make a little money on the tournament. And congratulations to the Trojans, by the way, who played their way in last night in the play-in game. We have Jim Rome, speaking of sports, talking about other things on the program today. We're going to give away some more tickets for the Kevin and Bean March of Bow Wow singles party. We got April Foolishness tickets on the program today. We have Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program today. And we got some complaints yesterday from one listener in particular who's a diehard Alex Jones fan.
Oh, jeez.
We apparently upset her yesterday, and you'll be surprised why. But we'll address that on the program later on today as well. All that plus Ralph's Got the Showbiz Week. When we return right after this on K-Rock. I know yesterday was the Ides of March, but I feel like today is the day that everyone is turning on me. You're all stabbing me in the back because I'm the only one with a great idea here.
We're not stabbing you in the back at all.
We said it to your face.
Yeah, we're stabbing you in the front.
Yeah.
Right. Come on, right Ralph, in the chest.
You love little kids. How
I
are
do.
You not
yeah.
into the underage
because
edition of
I love little
good.
Kids, I will not subject them to you.
Yeah. You're going to ruin their souls.
Yeah.
That's
just
so
crush them.
Look, every time we get a kid on the show, I am always very nice to him or her. Always.
No.
Do I ever say mean things to kids on the radio?
Constantly.
Yeah. Never.
Yes.
Was I nice to Landon yesterday?
No.
No, you cut him off. He was in the middle of telling us a story.
I dismissed him when he was getting into a story, when we could have easily had mined that for more and find
who
out more
about that
kid.
Who could tell he was in the middle of a story? I had no idea what he was talking
All
about.
All of us.
Everyone else, people who are humans, could tell.
But what you're forgetting is that, and what's great about the what's good,
we just
good,
got playing
proposing.
The little sound effect that, oh, the phone's ringing, we need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But that
kids,
wasn't us.
Kids say the darndest things, Ralph. That's why I think it would be fun.
I agree, but not you.
At least we let the Radiohead guy go on for 5 minutes.
Right, and that was, is it good or bad?
Right.
That was the
right.
meat of that fascinating, complex conversation.
Yeah. All right, you're getting off topic now.
Dude, someone good. Didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
That's what it is.
I'm
no
saying
connection.
Tomorrow we're going to do the kids edition of What's Good.
I'm saying just save it for Monday.
I insist.
Save it for Monday. I think Monday would be a good
oh,
day.
Oh, when Ralph Garman is on vacation,
Monday would
I
be
see.
A great
no.
idea. Monday. Should be about Monday.
But you need to be here to help.
Save that for Monday.
Okay. Hey, it's LA and OC's Alternative Rock. Thank you so much for tuning in to the world-famous K-Rock at 5:55. It's our first look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Congratulations to RuPaul. He and his longtime partner, George, tied the knot. They're married.
They've been together for a million years, right?
They're 23 years.
Oh, wow.
On their 23rd anniversary. That's when they got married.
This was a success.
I wonder what that's all about. After 23 years, you're like, well, should we? Huh.
Good
oh, they
question.
Don't want to rush into it.
Right.
I don't know why you
just
think
really
you
get
need...
to know a person.
Obviously, you've solved the riddle.
Yeah.
Right? You're able to last together. You don't need any sort of further bonds.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some romantic gesture in their part. It's okay.
I'll allow it.
Proof, by the way, that... opposites attract. I don't know if you know this, but while RuPaul, of course, as you can imagine, is all about the glamour and the glitz, mm-hmm. his groom runs a 60,000-acre ranch in Wyoming.
Oh, I love it so much.
Has no concern for show business or dressing up or anything.
Aww.
Just rides a horse all day and just puts away the little dogies.
That's that.
That's what they're called, Allie. Don't laugh at me. Dogies. Get along, little dogies.
Why do you say it with a Philly accent?
He says it like he says hoagies.
That's how it's pronounced.
I hate it.
Dogies.
Stop it.
That's what the cowboys say. Get along, little dogies.
I hate it.
Dogie.
I can't picture RuPaul being into that.
Well, just goes to show you, man. You can't judge a book by looking at its cover. There will be a public ceremony for fans. We want to celebrate the lives of Debbie Reynolds and her daughter, Carrie Fisher. It has been announced that on Saturday, March 25th, at the Forest Lawn Cemetery, in their 1,200-seat theater in Hollywood, there's going to be a public memorial. James Blunt will be there as part of several people who are paying tributes to the pair. He's written a new song that will be played during a photo montage at the ceremony. And the Los Angeles Gay Men's Chorus will also be performing as well. So, sounds like it's going to be quite a lovely day. You can look for more information at the Forest Lawn Cemetery website. But a lot of people were asking when there was going to be a chance for them to have a public show of love and affection for those two. And so, there you have it. From good people to the Kardashians, looks like Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna have officially split for good. Word is things are getting ugly. Rob is angling for full custody of their infant daughter, Dream.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering. I thought they just had a baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they sure put themselves above the well-being of a child and decided to have one in midst of their tempestuous relationship. And now there's a little baby who's going to pay the price. Dream has two nightmares as parents. Rob's angling for full custody of the daughter. his mom, Kris Jenner, is 100% behind him because she makes good choices, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want the mentally irrational sock king mm-hmm. to be the full-time parent of a little baby.
Yeah.
But then what's your option? You got Blac Chyna on the other side, right?
Oh, dear. Thank God my sweet shop's closed.
Your sweet shop is closed. That's right. But doesn't it bring all the boys to the yard? Am I confusing that with something
else? Yeah, that's very different.
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Griffin of your L.A. Clippers is 28 years old today. Alexandra Daddario. Oh, come on now. Come on now.
Right?
Daddario, right? Right?
Why is Harrison Ford here?
31 years old today. Soon to be seen in Baywatch, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Alan Tudyk. We love Tudyk.
Sure do.
46 years old. Judah Friedlander from 30 Rock is 38 years old. Lauren Graham.
He's wearing a funny hat for his birthday today.
Oh, his hat says birthday boy or something on it. Oh, those trucker caps with the funny things on them never gets old.
Can't get enough of those.
Oh. Lauren Graham is 50 years old today.
Lauren Graham is what?
50 years old today.
She is fantastic. I'm 50.
Okay. Flavor Flav!
Flavor Flav!
58 years old today. Eric Estrada, 68.
Oh,
Punch!
Day.
Victor Garber. Oh, love me some Victor Garber. He is 68 years old today. And legendary clown, funny man, actor, writer, director, charitable contributor, Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis celebrates his 91st birthday today.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's your birthday, Jerry.
Not at all.
Yes, it absolutely is your birthday.
No.
Yes, I looked it up. It's your birthday today.
I'm glad you remembered it.
Thank you. I'm glad, too. Let's call people in France.
Why?
Do it.
As Jerry Lewis.
Uh-huh.
And see if they want to wish him happy birthday.
I've never liked an idea better.
Come on, Jerry. What do you say? You in?
Yep.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Yay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Earlier this week, we put on sale tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness, our 9th annual shindig to raise money for great local charities, including Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. I know I've said it before, but it bears repeating. Thanks to you buying tickets and supporting this show every year, we've raised over $1 million for charity in the last 8 years. So it's a good deal, and it's a great time, too. And what a lineup. April 1st at the Shrine Auditorium, our friend Bill Burr is going to be on the bill, along with David Koechner, Angela Johnson, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, Jimmy Pardo. Tickets are still on sale at AXS.com. You can buy them. You can also win them right now on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Allie, what are we looking for this time around?
I think we're going to want some knock-knock jokes, which are always really funny.
That is the highest form of comedy, isn't
it? A lot
it?
Of people say it, yeah.
So knock-knock jokes is what we're looking for. You tell the best knock-knock joke and you win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. I like that you can tell we take our comedy seriously.
I'm just sad Kevin's not here because I can't imagine how much he'd love knock-knock jokes.
He sure does, doesn't he? All right. We don't usually cover budget issues on this program, but the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department made a little bit of news this week when it was reported that they have $300,000 to spend in their budget that they have decided what to do with. And this made news.
Oh, that's great.
It is great news because, let's face it, I mean, you got to give your law enforcement everything they need to do their job safely and effectively, right?
Absolutely.
So you hear about $300,000 for the Sheriff's Department, you think, oh, my God, that's got to be, I mean, the body cameras, for instance, that they're trying to get on all the officers, maybe more guns, better guns, newer guns, higher quality ballistic vests.
Sure.
Would be something that
All
would be, keep our men and women in uniforms safe.
Absolutely.
Well, Ali, no, not this time around. This $300,000 is going to be spent on minor cosmetic makeovers of deputies' uniforms. They are changing the color of their belt buckles.
Nope.
And other metal pieces of gear from silver to gold. That way, the metallic bits, which are made of brass, will match the gold-hued tie clips, lapel pins, and six-pointed star badges that deputies already wear.
This is an onion story. This is not real.
This is coming from Sheriff Jim McDonald himself. They are spending the money on basically little bits of metal on their uniforms. The sheriff says the change is important to maintaining a professional look for deputies on the job. However, as you can imagine, it has generated lots of criticism among people who work in the department. And we wanted to find out more about what's going on. We asked Dave, who could we talk to? The financial chairman of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, Clark Mason, joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Mason, thank you for coming on, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I got to be honest, a lot of people were not pleased when they saw the news of how all this money was going to be spent. Is there any way to justify this decision?
Of course there's a way to justify it. The changes in the uniform will, these will coordinate the gold-colored buckles, belt snaps, baton rings, key holders, badges. These will finish off the uniform, make it a more consistent look, and it will better convey to a suspect that a deputy sheriff is in control.
You think a suspect actually notices that things aren't matching on the uniform?
Yes, we've taken a survey of criminals and suspects, and they say they don't respect sheriffs as much because, in their words, they have ticky-tack fashion.
Really?
Yes, and we don't like being talked to that way by the criminal element, so we're putting an end to it.
It's a little bit of a surprise because it's not a fashion show. I mean, the guys, they're out there to do a job, and it's a dangerous job, and it's
you got to look the part, though. It's a presentation is a large part of law enforcement. It's a visual deterrent, as we say, and the officer in the uniform must look appropriate. And as one criminal suspect put it in the survey, work it, girl.
Well, I didn't realize they had taken it that seriously.
Yeah, so we have to work it now.
So $300,000, though. Why does it cost so much just for a couple of little upgrades?
That's cheap.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to get we're getting some small children.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. Come on.
They are the only ones with the hands tiny enough to paint the little badges, paint the gold on the badges.
Uh-huh. And you feel good about that, do you, Mr. Mason?
Well, it... cheaper than adult workers, that's for sure. We pay the children mostly in cookies and juice.
Oh, no.
A large part of our budget is spent on Oreos and...
Nope.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Don't do it, Clark Mason.
Yes. Yes. Oreos and what?
Juice.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you like to know what kind of juice?
No. No.
All right. We also have part of the plan. A lot of the sheriffs are complaining about their sunglasses. Mm. They want the reflective sunglasses versus the black or brown lensed sunglasses. Mm. So we're spending another $475,000 to have some chimpanzees spray paint them.
Come on. The sunglasses that they're wearing now are perfectly fine and effective.
That's true, but it's hilarious to watch a chimpanzee with a spray can, I gotta tell you.
I don't think this is a great use of taxpayer dollars.
Nightsticks. We need some new nightsticks.
Okay, well, at least that's part of what you need.
So we're going to, we got an Amazonian rainforest we're going to clear and use the wood from there. It's a special kind of tree. It's the Bolivian crankwood. And we're going to make the nightsticks out of those because they just they sound so good on a skull.
Okay, but it's not really worth it to devastate the rainforest. There's lots of other kinds of wood you could use that wouldn't do that kind of damage.
We're thinking about silver bullets this year, too. Silver bullets for all the sheriffs because who doesn't like the Lone Ranger, right? That's $1.3 million.
Okay. These are bad decisions.
They really are.
We got juice for the kids?
Yes, you sure did.
You know what kind of juice they
have?
Mostly orange juice, mostly what they're drinking and they're painting. They like orange juice.
Thank you.
We tried grape juice. No, that didn't work.
No.
Tomato juice? No, they didn't go for that. Doesn't go with Oreos.
I see.
Carrot juice? No. They like orange juice. Yeah. Orange juice. Orange juice. Yeah, that's what they like.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Mason, keep doing what you're doing, I guess.
I mentioned they like orange juice.
You did.
LA and OC's alternative rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, the Kevin and Bean Show. It is not too late for you to make a little bit of money on the NCAA college basketball tournament. We'll talk to our friend RJ Bell in Las Vegas coming up just after 7. John C. Riley from King Kong. I should say Kong Skull Island joins us in minutes. First, though, let's give away some tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson. Tickets are on sale now through AXS.com, or you can win them. What's this game called, Chip?
School of Hard Knocks.
It's April Foolishness, and it's a funny show. So tell a knock-knock joke, and make sure you don't blow. It's super easy now, now that you know. But if you don't know, here's a little demo.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Radio. Radio who? Radio or not, here I come. And that's how it's done. School of Hard Knock-Knocks. Who's there? School of Hard Knock-Knocks. Who's there? School of Hard Knock-Knocks. Okay. Who's there? School of Hard Knock-Knocks. Knocks.
Okay, Hard Knocks. School of Hard Knocks. Got it. All right, we're looking for your knock-knock jokes at 1-800-520-1067. We'll just take them in order, and we'll start with Paul. He's in Long Beach. I appreciate you calling and holding on, and you are first to give us a knock-knock joke. What do you got for us, sir?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Canoe.
Canoe who?
Can you help me with my homework?
Oh, Paul.
Oh, Paul. Wow.
I have a
really?
One.
Okay,
I have
hold
a
on.
One.
Hold on. Kathy San Pedro up next, line two. I guess we'll do a drawing. We'll do a drawing. Okay.
Yeah.
Kathy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your knock-knock joke?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Wait. Interrupting cow who?
No!
It was delayed. But
timing. Timing. Mark is in Ontario. He's on line three. He's up next. Mark? Knock-knock jokes are what's being told on the radio today, just like they were 100 years ago. What do you have for us?
Knock-knock.
Allie, why don't you take this one?
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Don't cry. It's only a joke.
Oh, Mark. Let's go to line four, La Crescentia, Amber. I don't know. I'd love a knock-knock joke that didn't come right out of Highlights magazine.
All right, ready for it?
I think I am, yeah. This one's
knock,
me.
Knock-knock. Right.
Who's there?
Someone too short to ring the bell.
Who's too short to ring the bell? Because
knocking, that would be it.
That's the end of the joke.
I got you. Okay.
I don't hate
all right.
It. I don't hate it.
All right. Nice upending expectations. Thank you, Amber. Let's try Ted and Corona. He's up next, line five. Hey, Ted, what's going on?
Hey, good morning.
Allie, this one's you.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears who?
Knock, knock. Oops, I did it again.
Why did I like it?
Sean is in Thousand Oaks. He's our next knock-knock contestant. By the way, we're playing, I can't remember the name of this game. Is it School of Hard Knock-Knocks?
School of Hard Knock-Knocks.
That's what it is. All right, Sean, what's going on? What do you got?
All right, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
Allie, why don't you talk to Renee? He's in Moreno Valley, line 7.
Hi, Renee.
Hello, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Willie.
Willie who?
Willie, you give me the tickets because I really want to go.
I don't hate it. See, he changed it up, Beam. He changed
yes,
it
he did.
For the contest.
All right. Chino's Michael is our final contestant for Knock Knock Jokes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, trying to win tickets for April Foolishness, April 1st at the Shrine. Michael, wow us.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Morning.
Knock, knock.
Who is there?
Europe.
Europe who?
No, Europe who?
All right, so that's what we got. Those were our choices. That was fun. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Paul or Kathy? Mark or Amber? Ted or Sean? Renee or Michael? Who wins tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine?
The winner is Ted.
Yay!
Ted.
Woo-hoo!
Britney Spears just got you in, man. We'll see you there with Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson, and you. Thanks for playing the School of Hard Knock Knocks.
School of Hard Knock Knocks. Who's there? School of Hard Knock Knocks. Knocks.
LA and OC's alternative rock. It's Green Day on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie McCann, a little bit, I'm going to be honest, I told you, I'm a little bit nervous talking to John C. Reilly.
I think he's going to be fine.
We've had him on the program before. Mm-hmm. He's always a delightful guest. But you look at this guy for 30 years, nothing but excellence.
Right.
Nominated for all those Oscars and Golden Globes and Tony Awards and Screen Actors Guilds, Magnolia and Chicago and Walk Hard and Step Brothers and all those movies we love so much. And, of course, he's in America's number one film right now, talking about Kong Skull Island. Always a pleasure to welcome the great John C. Reilly back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Good morning. Don't be nervous.
See?
I won't bite.
Thank you, John.
That's what
I appreciate that. And I know that you're a nice guy, and I know that you're a good interview, and you're going to be fine. But I admire you so much that I get a little tingly when you come on the show. That's all.
Well, see a doctor about that.
So, John, I'm a little bit surprised. I'm surprised that they're making you continue to work this movie. Like, you haven't done enough to already make the movie, go around the world publicizing the movie before it came out. Now it's number one, and they're still making you plug it. What's going on?
Well, the truth is I've been working here in London since November, so I actually didn't help out very much with the press at all, except for the London press junket. So the truth of the matter is I really love the movie, and I was just delighted when I saw it, and I wanted people to see it. I want to tell people, like, how great it is. I had a really fun time as a moviegoer watching the movie, and why not?
Yeah, and people are loving it so much, and everybody who sees it comes away with two things. One is, wow, that's the coolest looking King Kong I've ever seen. And two, Hank Marlowe, your character, just steals the movie. And I think that's one reason why people are connecting with it so much, is that they really fall in love with the people in the movie. It's not just a movie where you go and you just look at a big CGI ape.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think, kind of the secret weapon of the movie is emotion and humor. And those are two things you don't expect to feel in a big spectacle monster popcorn movie. But yeah, that's a real testament to Jordan and the writers who put this together, who reimagined this story and thought of a new way to tell this story. To for people that haven't seen the movie, it's not the same old King Kong story that you've seen in other films. It's a whole reimagining, so there's a lot of surprises in store. And I don't know. I had a blast making it. I loved my character. I don't know if he steals the movie. I think he definitely stands out in the movie because he's such a unique character. But to me, my heart was with Kong. When I walked out of the movie, I was like, man, I just felt such a strong connection. I think that's partially because the CGI technology is now so far advanced that you just get a lot of, like, real emotion from the character.
Well, speaking of the director, Jordan Vogt Roberts, I don't know if you're aware, but he's been asked what's next for Kong. And his response is, forget Kong. He's interested in a $30 million spinoff of your character. What's that all about?
Well, Jordan's a good friend of mine. We had a lot of fun making the movie. He is the reason I'm in the movie. He fought for me to be in the movie, and he fought for my character to stay in the movie as much as he is. So he and I just love this character so much. And one of the things that fascinated us was my character crash lands on Skull Island when I'm a young man in World War II. And then I'm there for 28 years stranded pretty much by myself. And then he's rediscovered. And we became fascinated with, like, those 28 years.
What happened?
He goes through his 20s and his 30s and his 40s. All basically alone in this crazy place with these giant animals. And I don't know how real that sequel idea is. I would love it if it was, but I think it's just Jordan being enthusiastic about that crazy time period of Marlowe's life before we see him again in the movie.
Well, I'm in.
And it wouldn't be bad if Hank Marlowe comes across a previously undiscovered tribe of supermodels living there on the island he wasn't aware of, too. I mean, now you got yourself a movie.
Look at you writing.
Those iwi people were pretty good looking. So there were a lot of supermodels with that iwi tribal makeup on.
We are talking to the great John C. Reilly here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. His film, of course, is Kong Skull Island. It's in theaters everywhere right now. You ought to go see it. And if you've already seen it, go see it again. You filmed some of this in Vietnam. Is that right, John?
Yeah, we were in Hawaii, Australia, and Vietnam. Yeah.
I have always wanted to go to the Far East, and in particular Vietnam. It looks like a beautiful country with beautiful people. Did you spend much time there, or was it just a real quick in and out for work?
We were there for about 30 days at the end of the schedule, so about a month. It's an amazing place. I really recommend everyone go to Vietnam if you get a chance. My first movie was in Thailand, so I've spent a little bit of time in Asia and as an American going to Vietnam post all the stuff that we as a country went through in that place, it was really intense and really interesting to see, like, how they've moved on and, like, how well Vietnam is doing right now. It's like a booming economy and a really young population. And, I thought it was going to be like like 1968 when I went there for some reason, because that's most of the images that we have.
Absolutely.
Vietnam, but it's a totally different, like, modern, booming place right now. So, it was really cool. And also, it was just kind of a special opportunity when Kong was there, because it was the first big Hollywood movie shot there. And it's the first time Americans have been in the movie dressed in Vietnam-era uniforms.
Oh, so wow.
It was this crazy kind of special thing that was happening while we were there, and everyone was so excited we were there. So, yeah, definitely. That we just went from one tropical, beautiful location to another on this movie, so I almost feel like it was a crime to get paid. Working in Hawaii and the Gold Coast of Australia and these beautiful islands in Vietnam, I was like, wow.
See?
I definitely picked the right profession here.
Yeah, not a bad way to make a living, that's for sure. Well, people are loving it. They're loving you in the movie. They're loving your great cast with Tom Hiddleston, Samuel L. Jackson, John Goodman, Brie Larson, so much more. Everybody, go see Kong Skull Island. Support our friend John C. Reilly. You're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for taking some time today, John.
Thank you very much. And happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody tomorrow.
Oh, you as well. Thanks.
Bye-bye. White Stripes on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KRQ for a Thursday morning. Ralph, will you allow St. Patrick's Day Eve?
Will I allow it?
Will you allow it? Yeah.
No.
You have problems with some of my, some of the way I slice and dice the calendar, but I feel like that's legitimate. Like heels of St. Patrick's Day, can be St. Patrick's Day Eve.
No,
why
it's not a thing. Because there's New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve. There's no other Eves.
But tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day.
You know what? Don't ask me questions if you don't want to answer it.
I'm just trying to understand your logic, that's all.
It's your world, man. We're just living in it. Whatever you say goes, okay? But don't we'll ask me stuff, and then I tell you, and then you're like...
RJ Bell in Las Vegas talks
right?
NCAA tournament coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Jim Rome later as well, and Dr. Drew Pinsky as well. First, though, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's the Mean Man.
Big change-up with Amazing Race. Come on, Chip. There we go. There we go. There's the photos.
Asshole.
Right.
Excuse me.
Big changeup over there in Amazing Race.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's the 29th season of Amazing Race.
They do good work.
And they're cranking it up again 2 weeks from tonight on March 30th, Thursday night. You'll see the new version. However, they have done a little changeup this time. A little Falcon twist, if you will. You know, usually they get pairs joining the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
You get fiancés or, you know, co-workers or lesbian lovers.
Dear God.
But in this particular case, they're getting 22 complete strangers.
Oh, no.
Who will meet for the first time
at
the start.
Mm-mm.
They have to choose their partner out of this group of strangers, and then they set off on a trip through 9 countries, 17 cities, for 36,000 miles.
That is a fascinating switcheroo. I like it.
Please don't ever say switcheroo again.
No, but I mean, that's a great idea for the show.
I agree.
I just love it.
I will not allow switcheroo.
Really?
Yeah. I can't imagine making that trip with someone I know and love, let alone some a-hole stranger.
Yeah. No.
Who lives half in Seattle, half in New Orleans, and he just shows up. And
it's
like,
very
specific. Do you say saving or savings? Right? That, and you're stuck with that guy on a trip around the world.
I don't like it.
Right?
But at least you're not destroying a relationship with somebody that you're close to by picking a perfect stranger, you know? Because I feel like a lot of friendships break up and marriages break up and whatnot from the stress of being on that program together.
I suppose that's true. I can imagine that is the case.
That's a great idea. We've got to talk to Phil Kogan about that.
Weezer. New Weezer.
Very exciting.
I'm saying Weezer.
They've been very prolific in recent years, haven't they?
They have, and they've got a brand new track they just dropped yesterday. Here's what they said when they published the video for their new single. We decided to skip spring entirely and go straight to summer. Our new single, Feels Like Summer, from our forthcoming album, coming this summer, is out now. And then they released the single. It's pretty good. I really like it. It's called Feels Like Summer. You can see it up on Spotify or Apple Music, etc. Or you can watch the video on YouTube. Here's a little taste of Feels Like Summer. That's it.
That is nice.
That's a BS instrument.
Because here comes summer.
I'm holding on, and I don't want to let you go. Oh,
see a girl in a bikini just walking down the beach to that song. Ray-Bans on.
Ray-Bans.
Really?
Ray-Bans make sunglasses, Allie. Sure. That's what they do. They make sunglasses.
Yeah.
It is always a good day when there's new Weezer song.
You like the Weezer?
I really
hey,
do.
Hey, man, you
much.
Like the Weezer?
Very much.
And this is my favorite story of the week. Red Hot Chili Pepper fans in Staten Island, New York, were very excited when the little St. George Theater advertised the band was coming to town.
Uh-oh.
As you can imagine, the phone rang off the hook. The website almost crashed as people bought tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Here's the problem. The theater was actually hosting the Red Hot Chili Pipers. Yes, they are a bagpipe group.
Oh.
Men in kilts who play the bagpipes and call themselves the Red Hot Chili Pipers. Well, the theater was barraged with phone calls from folks who had bought tickets thinking they were going to see Anthony Kiedis and Flea, not some guys in kilts. And the St. George Theater begrudgingly gave back their money, sending out refunds. However, the manager, Vincent Insonte, said, "Our message to our customers is to read. That is all." That was
point.
The entire statement. Right? Right?
I love
He's
him.
He's right, they're wrong. I would have kept their money, Vinny. You should have kept their damn money. Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Wow.
This
very different.
Was a success.
This
yeah.
was a success. Today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Griffin, 28 years old today. Alexandra Daddario. Remember a True Detective?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Come on. Made me cry. Alan Tudyk.
She's Susan Sarandon's daughter, correct?
What?
Alexandra Daddario, yes.
Could not be more incorrect.
I thought that was true.
Why did you think it was true?
Am I thinking of somebody else? Am I thinking of a different actress?
Yeah.
You're probably thinking of Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Right, who's
Alexandra Daddario.
Eva Muri, I'm being told by Christine. Yes, they are similar looking. Yes, that was my error. Sorry.
Right?
I can't.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I'm off next week, so.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
You.
I am taking the week off next week. Because
I am too.
I got to invest in some bags and some property in the desert.
Make your dreams come true.
I have to get some situations set up. I have to make some arrangements. It's going to take a little work next week. Alan Tudyk is 46. Judah Friedlander, with his funny hats, 48 years old today. Lauren Graham is 50. Flavor Flav!
Flavor Flav!
He's 58 years old today. Eric Estrada Ponch from the OG Chips, 68 years old today. Victor Garber, who was so good over there on Legends of Tomorrow, is 68 years old today. Jerry Lewis!
That's all part of the good America.
Right?
I believe in.
He's part of the good America.
That's the wonderful part, because
yes.
as much as mm-hmm. we are brought up
right,
certainly in different
certainly.
Cultures all over the world,
yes.
right? When you come right down to it,
mm-hmm.
it bottoms out at
yes.
human condition.
Right.
Sure.
Jerry was Rodney before there was a Rodney.
Oh, how dare you. 91 years old today. He's 91 years old.
Yeah, he is.
Just goes to show you, hate and anger is a powerful fuel.
Alive.
Keep you alive forever.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's Blink 182 on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Allie McKay, I was very impressed that you spent the time yesterday to put your bracket together.
I spent a lot of time just really researching the teams and records and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And you're feeling good about it? Why'd you do it before you knew we were going to talk to RJ today? Why not let RJ guide you?
I can switch it up. I think I still have time to switch things, but I know I went with teams, states I like better, guys that don't mold their caps into that U shape with the bill. Can't have any of those teams.
That's
so
how you decided. I love it.
Yep.
Well, let's see what the expert has to say. Here's our good friend live from Las Vegas, the founder of pregame.com. RJ Bell is on the line. Hit it, Steve. Well, we haven't talked to you since just before the Super Bowl. How are you, sir? How's Las Vegas? How's pregame.com?
Excellent. Great stuff. I'm a little concerned this morning, though, because I'm going to drop a bunch of knowledge about the brackets, the tournament. But we are in a bracket contest, us and the Kevin and Bean, or me and the Kevin and Bean team.
Yes, the Kevin and Bean party bus bracket. Right?
I want a commitment from you guys. There's no changing your picks after this segment. Because then I'd be just I'd be cutting off my nose.
Oh yeah,
my
because
face.
That's right. Because that's a great point.
In the bracket.
So you're saying so Allie can't learn from you and switch up her picks real quick.
She's got to try to stay as whatever level of information she has now. It has to stay. She cannot get any smarter no matter what.
Okay.
We need that agreement.
I don't know if I can agree to that, RJ. I'm not going to lie to you.
Let's be honest. You've gone months without too much improvement, so just let's
How
just be comfortable
you?
Right
Look
now.
Look at him smack talking already. We just started the segment.
No.
All right.
Well,
RJ.
She knows I'm teasing.
Absolutely.
So this is, I'm just guessing now, but you tell me, is this the deal? Is this the biggest weekend for Las Vegas outside of the Super Bowl each year?
You know what's funny? It's not even outside. If you look at Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first 4 days of the tournament, more betting action than the Super Bowl.
How about that? That's such a surprise to me.
Obviously, it's a bunch of games, so Super Bowl is still king. But the idea that from now till Sunday, more betting than the Super Bowl, I think would surprise a lot of people. I think what's even more hardcore is just the day-to-day here. Because remember, as you guys know, on the West Coast, 9 a.m., these games are starting pretty much Pacific. And if you want a seat in the sports books, you've got to be there like 4 a.m. It's like sitting out for Springsteen tickets. That's an old 80s reference there, right?
But it's still legit. He still sells out every stadium. Now, one thing I have learned from speaking with you over the years, RJ, is the way to make money on betting on sports is to find the difference between what the experts say, as you say, the wise guys, and what the public thinks, the wisdom of crowds. And that really plays into this tournament, right? Because the public, they look at the schools they've heard of, the schools that have had a lot of success in the past, and they're almost always willing to go down that road. And a lot of times the experts see something in the lesser-known teams that are going to surprise us.
Yes, and really, though, that public opinion only matters when the public has a significant percentage of the overall action. So let's say it's February, it's a West Coast game, Portland State's playing a game. There might be public bias in the public action, but the public action in that scenario is such a small percentage, right? Well, now March Madness, there's no college basketball games the entire year with more public betting, as we talked about, just the raw amount is over $10 billion. This year is what we're estimating worldwide. That raw amount is so big, then those public biases do affect the line. And I think you touched on it. One of the main public biases is they like teams they've heard of. They like the big marquee names, and a lot of teams they haven't heard of, it's like, well, who are they, right? Mm-hmm. Almost imagine a movie, right? A lot of movie fans in L.A. is, if there's, hey, Denzel's in it, I'm a Denzel fan. May or may not be a good movie, but you like Denzel. Now,
right.
He increases the chance, in my opinion, of it being a good movie, but you just don't know for sure. Now, Moonlight, before most people saw it, I'm guessing they're saying, who's this? I don't know these people, but then it was a good movie. So I think that's a great analogy. People know Duke. People know North Carolina. They're going to be inclined to play them. And I think that leads to those teams being inflated and the lesser-known teams being cheap. And wise guys like cheap teams.
All right. So what are some of your tips then for people who are just faced with a big blank sheet of paper right now? They're getting ready to – they've got to fill it out for their office pool today. What should they do? What are some good general ideas for them?
I got three tips. We'll go one by one quickly. Number one. The number of people you compete against should dictate how many upsets you have. So I'll use our pool for an example. There's about 15 people in the pool. That's a fairly small one with the Kevin and Bean team. And so I was more chalky. I had less upsets because it was against a handful of people. Why is that? Because the score that you're going to need to win gets more reasonable. Thus, you don't have to go take a bunch of chances. Now, the other thing, go online. There's a million people, let's say, in a contest. You want to get crazy with the upsets because it's going to take a crazy result, a really great result, to win. Number two,
fair enough.
Number two, quickly, let Vegas be your partner. And Vegas will be your partner picking your bracket for free. If you win, they won't even ask for a cut. Here's what you do. Go to the newspaper, go to pregame.com, whatever, and you see the odds on the games. And lo and behold, let me give you an example. 12 seed versus a 5 seed. A lot of people always talk about 12s do well historically. That's true. But there's three 12 seeds this year that are 6-point underdogs or more, and one 12 seed, Middle Tennessee State, which is a pick 'em, not even an underdog against a 5. If you're going to pick 112, why not let Vegas tell you Middle Tennessee State is clearly the better team?
Allie, did you have Middle Tennessee State in your bracket?
I actually did.
Okay, ooh, good. See? All right.
Oh, I think she's setting up for
I also have East Tennessee in my bracket beating Virginia. What am I thinking?
Now, that one I don't
What's
agree
happening?
With.
What's happening?
That's going to be a surprise.
And quickly, last of our three tips is each round of the tournament, there's a seed ceiling. Historically, seeds above that just don't do well. They don't advance to that point. And let me give you the biggest one of all. The NCAA champion, 27 of the last 28 years, has been a 4 seed or better. So if you have a 5 or 6 seed winning, you're bucking, you know, literally it's only happened once in 28 years. Doesn't mean it won't happen. It means it's just not a smart bet. And each round has its own ceiling. And I've tweeted that out and it's up in a bunch of places. And it really helps guide the teams you pick to advance.
So the chances are really, really good, way better than not, that one of the top seeds is going to win this thing, right? Like a North Carolina, Kansas, Gonzaga, Villanova, right?
Historically, a little less than half the time a number one seed wins, and a vast, vast majority of the time, as we said, a 4 seed or better wins. And with the 4 different regions, that means there's about 16 teams historically each year with a real viable chance.
Who's your sexiest potential Cinderella team this year?
I'm going to give you Wichita State.
Oh, no shockers.
Now, the committee, there's all the talk oftentimes about the committee and how political they are, you know, the selection committee, they call it, and that, oh, that school, you know, the president is friends with the other president. They must have tried to help them out. There's all these rumors of the boys club type thing, right? And I think there's some truth to it with the committee. But in general, they did a good job this year, but they had the most egregious mistake, one single mistake we've ever seen. I have guys with me, literally, that's been in Vegas making a living at this since the late 80s, and they say this is the worst seeding they've ever seen on Wichita State. Some people believe they're a top 10 team, and they were a 10th seed.
Wow.
Which means they're like the 40th best team, but Vegas thinks they're right around the top 10. Now, you might say, okay, RJ, that's an opinion. Who knows? Maybe you and your buddies think that. Right now in Las Vegas, Wichita State, the 10th seed, is favored by 6 points over the 7th seed, Dayton. So 7 is better than 10, right? You would think Dayton would be favored. It's one thing to have the worst seed favored by a little. We've never seen a double-digit seed favored by this much before, ever. Wichita by 6. And let me put a little challenge out there. There's still some time to go before this game. Why don't the people on the committee that felt so adamantly that Wichita State wasn't so good and thought Dayton was better, well, you can come to Vegas and bet on Dayton and get 6 points. You think they'd make a gigantic bet and donate to charity? I'm guessing it's not going to happen.
I have a feeling a lot of those people in the selection committee really don't want to be seen putting money down on any of the games that they're choosing
to
see.
You know, I hear you,
perhaps.
But it would really be great to see them stick behind that opinion.
I think we can all agree, though, Northwestern has to get far so we can see Julia Louis-Dreyfus in the stands, right? Who's with me?
She's a lot of fun to watch, that's for sure.
You make a good – we kind of buried the lead. You make a good point.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you, our friend RJ Bell on the line from pregame.com, and that is – a lot of love in this town for UCLA, obviously. They've had a real, real good season. They open up the tournament tomorrow against Kent State. How far will the Bruins go?
You know something? I mean, they're the 5th or 6th favorite. I mean, I'm going to run down the favorites real quick. North Carolina, Villanova, Kansas, Gonzaga, Duke, Kentucky, Arizona, UCLA. So they're in that top tier. And I actually have them in my bracket going to the Elite Eight. So I think they have a heck of a chance.
Sounds great. All right. NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship March Madness is on. You can go to pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, for so much information. You will drown in it as you fill out your bracket at work today. It's always great to talk to you, RJ. I hope our listeners will get in touch with you and let them know how they do with your picks on Twitter at RJ in Vegas and pregame.com. We'll talk again soon, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you.
'Cause he's RJ Bell.
world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and we very much appreciate you tuning in. You know, Ralph, we have talked about many times on this program before that it's almost impossible to do something that somebody won't take offense to on this program.
Yes, and I understand that. Not everyone is going to like everything you do.
Certainly. So yesterday, all of us were surprised when we got lashed out at on Twitter by a listener named Beth Lackey. She heard us talking to Alex Jones, quote unquote, the Infowars.com crusader for justice,
yes,
that we have talked to many times on the program before. And of course, it's hilarious to us how crazy this Alex Jones guy from Infowars is, and the fact that he really is an advisor to the actual president of the United States. It's terrifying, but also hilarious because of how far out he is. He's the government is putting something in the water to turn the frogs gay guy. That's
right.
This guy,
yeah.
Okay?
And so we try to highlight his insanity and do it in a humorous fashion using satire as a weapon, if you were, to kind of diffuse some of the fear that we feel with this
and
guy.
And as is the case with most of the voices that we do on the radio, and we're peeling back the curtain to give you a little behind the scenes here on K-Rock, newsflash, it wasn't really Alex Jones, nor did we expect anyone to think it was. It was our own Ralph Garman doing an Alex Jones impression.
But that's what kills me. It's not that people sometimes don't like what you do or they don't agree with your point of view. That's commonplace. But for someone to be that mistaken, to think that we're actually trying to somehow perpetuate a fraud,
right?
In the sense of trying to play off that this is actually the person we're talking to,
right?
That's madness.
It was clearly a parody voice bit, right?
Right.
Can I tell you what she tweeted?
Yes. What did she say, Ali?
She tweeted to Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
Well, sure. She's obviously a trusted advisor
right.
herself.
She wrote, K-Rock Radio in Los Angeles had someone impersonating you on the air this morning regarding Alec Baldwin. Not cool.
Oh.
She then tweeted, K-Rock, your morning broadcast this morning with someone impersonating Alex Jones was disgusting, leading listeners to believe it was him.
See, that's not
oh my God.
And we're trying to pull a wool over anybody's eyes.
Oof. Yeah, and I'm very confused because if she's actually an Alex Jones fan and supporter, how did she not recognize that it clearly wasn't him?
Right.
It was a guy doing an Alex Jones voice.
Or if she was a Kevin and Bean Show listener and K-Rock supporter, how did she not know this is basically the same bit we do all the time with all
yes.
kinds of famous people?
Or the fact that she is a fan of Alex Jones, she didn't realize what you were saying was extra crazy.
Yeah,
maybe that's
it. Business as usual
yeah.
with Alex.
We do have a bulletin for you. Is when we spin the wheel of bad animal voices, that's Ralph too.
Yeah. We're not actually talking to a fighting orangutan in a boxing ring.
All right, hold on 1 second. I what? Hang on a second here.
What? What's going on?
I'm being told that Alex Jones from Infowars.com is actually
he's actually
on the photo. And I don't know how
that
this is.
No, he's
how
not.
Is even
that's possible not possible.
That they would even know that we were talking about this. But let's see. Is
yes,
hello there?
That's right. I'm aware that you're talking about me. I'm aware of it. Because I know about the lies that are regurgitated over and over again by the mainstream media. I am the second most attacked man in America after Donald Trump. And I will not put up with this propaganda. And good for this woman to call you out on the garbage, scum, interdimensional demons that you are.
So just to be clear here, sir, you are actually Alex Jones from Infowars.com. This
That's
is
right.
not a comedy bit.
This is not a comedy bit. It's not funny to me when our country is being destroyed by soulless, inhuman pieces of trash like yourself. And the globalists who are trying to take over this country and to silence me and the voice that I have. Millions and millions of people listen to me to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the lies that you people try to put out on your program.
Ralph, I think you owe Mr. Jones an apology. It sounds like you've really upset him.
Well, it's not my intention to upset anyone, whether it's Alex Jones or his listeners. I'm just, you know, sometimes we get intimidated by the things you say, Mr. Jones, and so we just try to address it.
I don't care if you're scared. I don't care if you're a miserable little piece of garbage who can't handle the truth, because we're dealing with a globalist problem now. They're trying to destroy our country, and that's why they're filling the watermelons with nitroglycerin.
Oh,
okay,
no.
That's the type of thing, Alex, that you say that
yeah,
makes us think.
That's the kind of stuff that makes us crazy. We think,
right.
how can anyone take this guy seriously?
Well, you'll be taking it seriously when the Global Air Force, with Commander Don Cheadle behind the wheel, is dropping fruit bombs all over rural America and blowing up cornfields with the nitro-filled watermelons and the gasoline-filled cassava melons. When the Melon Patrol comes and takes you all down, you'll be sorry.
I mean, Ralph, he's got a point.
I guess if that's a danger of actually happening, we should worry about it.
You should also worry about the poison denim. When you're wearing denim and they put the poison in it, don't forget that Levi's spelled backwards, and if you mix some of the letters around, becomes civil evils. And that's why they're putting poison in the denim. So hardworking Americans who wear denim on the floor of the factories and are in the farms are being poisoned by the very denim that they wear. By the way, if you shuffle the word letters around in Levi's, it also spells out Elvis Lives. I'm not sure if that means anything, but it could. You don't know, you globalist piece of scum, you evil interdimensional demon. I will kill you. I will punch you in the face. I will break your neck and break your nose. And you will not be able to affect me because I wear a suit of armor made of pine cones.
I see that we were wrong to make fun of you, Alex.
Can't argue with that.
As you know by now, tickets are on sale at AXS.com. If you want to join us for the 9th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, it's a great lineup again this year with the proceeds going to some great local charities. And tickets start as low as $25 for that night of comedy with all headliners. I think you will have a great time if you come. And we are once again this year going to do the opening act contest as well. This has been fun in the past, I think.
Yeah, we get to hear from some people that might have been doing comedy forever, just didn't get their big break.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, oh, here I am at the Shrine opening for Bill Burr. It's huge.
And I'll tell you, like 2 years ago when Eddie Pence won this contest, I was unfamiliar with Eddie Pence, mm-hmm. and he's one of my favorites now. Love
so to do. Funny.
Ryan Cotter last year won. Who will win this
Grant
year?
Grant Cotter?
Grant Cotter. A different guy.
He goes by Ryan sometimes with Bean. What is happening?
Now he's famous. He has to go by another name now.
Yes. Change his name.
Who will be on the stage at the Shrine at the start of this year's show, April 1st? We have the website up and running. If you are if you're a comedian or wannabe, look, you can be a complete amateur and win this thing.
Sure.
It's open to anyone who wants to go on the website. I think it's 21 and up. You go to krock.com. You have until the end of next week to give us a YouTube video of you doing some comedy. And then we'll announce the top 10 on Monday, March 27th. And then the KROQ listeners will vote. And then we'll pick the winner at the end of that week. But we thought we might go through some of the ones that we've gotten so far and see what kind of competition is out there. The first video is from Zoltan Kazas, which sounds like a superhero name.
I love his name.
He is at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach in this clip, and here's a little bit of what Zoltan's comedy sounds like.
I'll be honest, I'm still nervous. I'm nervous. Yeah, I'm nervous. Because historically, nothing good has ever happened when the rednecks are happy. I'm not saying that can't change in the next 4 years, but in our history, that's never been the case. In our history, anytime there's a bunch of people going, woohoo! That's followed by centuries of the rest of us going, we are so sorry. Those people were out of line. I apologize. They are no longer in charge.
That is a Zoltan up next from Los Angeles.
Can we discuss, first of all, the audio? Clear.
Beautiful.
Perfect. Thank you, Zoltan.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, by the
Huge.
Way, when you want people to vote for you if they can hear you. Yeah. Recorded at the Ontario Improv, up-and-coming comedian Mark Gonzalez also entered at KROQ.com. Let's hear what Mark has to say.
What happened, dog? You used to want to be Mexican. You're brown on the outside, but you're really white on the inside. And listen, man, just because I don't speak Spanish, it doesn't make me less Mexican. It makes me the supervisor. So...
Dave's in the other room cheering.
That's
right.
On stage at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena, here is Ryan D. from El Monte.
It kind of confuses people, though, because I was raised by my stepdad, who's Hispanic, and my mom's Hispanic. So when I introduce people to my dad, I'm introducing them to my stepdad, right? And then they're like, I thought you were half white. And then I have to explain to them, sometimes the white ones leave, too.
We are going through some of the early entries for the Kevin and Bean opening act contest for April Foolishness at the Shrine. Up next from L.A., Kayla Crawford.
I used to be on a lot of dating apps. Anyone online dating? Normally no one admits to that. And the people that did just now sounded so depressed. They're just like, woo. They like, didn't even realize they made a noise. They just,
Here is Stephen Briggs. He's from L.A. performing in Las Vegas in this clip.
Me and my brother were arguing what original trap music sounds like. And he thinks it sounds like this. Like... That's what he thinks original trap music sounds like. And I think original trap music sounds like... Dun, 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 dun.
See?
it's the wedding march.
See what he did there?
I see what you did, Stephen.
And one more, and I apologize. I don't know about Billy Bunnell, but this is actually from a Comedy Central stand-up show. So the man's been on TV, maybe, I think, even, possibly, from West Hollywood. Let's see what Billy sounds like.
Do you guys remember in the 90s when you could just win an argument with a lie? Good times. You could just BS your way through a conversation and no one could say anything. They would just be like, I guess he's telling the truth. I am not going to the library to look that up. And if a debate ever got really heated in the 90s and people wanted to find out if you're telling the truth, they would just be like, do you swear to God?
You can see more from these comedians and a whole bunch more if you just go to krock.com. And if you think you are funny and you want to open the show, entries are being accepted through the end of next week. Somebody's going to be on stage at the Shrine with us. Get all the details at krock.com.
It looks like you might be one of us.
Human beatbox, that's me.
Okay.
Yeah. Nailed it.
LANOC's Alternative Rock. We'll talk Jim Rome Sports coming up right after the top of the hour. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock this morning, we got another chance for you to win tickets to go see Panic at the Disco, a great live band playing a sold-out show at the Forum on March 28th. And you go into the drawing for your own Panic at the Disco home invasion. All of that coming up this morning on the Kevin Bean Show on KROQ. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
I'm going to buy myself a firearm.
Now
that I know Panic at the Disco is going around invading people's homes.
Well, no, that's well, just
they
a,
try to,
that's
they're going to bust in my door and start taking all my comic books and things.
No, it's a private concert. They come to your home and they perform
live. I'm thinking of my valuables, you know?
Okay. they perform live at your house. That's all. It's not really what you're thinking of.
It's a poorly named contest then, because I hear home invasion. I start to get the sweats.
You get nervous.
Ralph, in the event of an actual emergency,
yes,
do you have in your mind what stuff you need to grab before you get out of the house? If it's getting ready to get on fire?
No. If that's the case, I'm just going to let it all burn.
Yeah.
I got too much. I can't. If I start playing that game, I'll die.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, I don't know. I had that 1966 Ideal Toys Batman utility belt, but I've got the original 70s Slurpee cups over here. Once I start inventorying,
right.
I'm charbroiled.
Did you just hear yourself, what you were just saying?
Yes.
A Slurpee what?
Slurpee cups. The collectible Slurpee cups from the 70s, Allie.
Oh, my God. That's in your collection.
Yes, they're highly coveted.
Sure. Open up a blog.
DC Comics 1970 Slurpee cups.
Well, I hope we don't lose those.
And when you have the entire collection, it's a pretty collectible item right there.
Okay.
You don't know.
Does Reggie make the cut when you're gathering up things to leave the house with?
I'm going to use him to put out the fire.
Oh,
come on. Why are you so mean to your dog,
Ralph? Beat the flames down with his long dachshund body.
Ralph has often said what a terrible dog he is.
No, I love Reggie. Reggie and I are the best of buds. But mm-hmm. he's got damage. It's like, look, any relationship. If you if you're in love with someone or you're a family member who's got some emotional issues, mm-hmm. you don't not love them.
Sure.
But it makes for a challenging relationship.
I see.
My dog is challenged.
Sure.
Because the one thing you want from a dog is just like, you're the best. You're the best. Oh, I love you. Let me just lay here. Let me relax. You can pet me. That's what you want. That's
right.
The purpose of
dog
serves.
That's a dog. Sure.
What's happening? People are walking by the house. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. All day long. If you have to deal with that, it gets a little exhausting.
I'm exhausted.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Reggie.
So I love Reggie the Wonder Dog, but he can be challenging. And I got enough challenges in my life.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Let me give something away. Because we're already knee-deep in the Showbiz Beat here, and I've done nothing for you. So let me give you this. All week long, all last week, too, I've been talking about my love for the Paley Fest.
Mm-hmm.
This is the event put on by the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. And they do a salute to television. They have a series of evenings where they bring the cast and creative teams behind some of your favorite shows right there to you at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood and Highland. You get to sit down and listen to them talk about your favorite TV shows. It's a great lineup this year. You can go to paleyfest.org to see all of the shows from the 17th through the 26th and get tickets if there's any available for some of these nights. But what I'd like to do is give away a pair of tickets right now to one of the hottest television programs of this year.
Tell me.
Far. Everyone's been talking about
Tell
it.
Tell me.
It's probably Bean's favorite show.
Say it.
Because it involves people having sex with robots.
And the name of the show is?
HBO's Westworld.
Yay!
If you are a fan of this a wildly popular, cutting-edge sci-fi fantasy show, then you're going to want to spend the evening with the cast and the creative minds behind Westworld on March 25th. Give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Since it's March 25th, caller 25 will be the lucky winner, and you'll get to spend an evening with the folks from Westworld. I'd like to go to Westworld. Not
the actual place?
Yeah. I wish there was a real Westworld. Can you imagine how awesome it would be?
I think there will be in the future.
I think there might be right now.
A theme park where you could go and you could kill people without any consequences, and you could have sex with the saloon girls, and you could live in the old Westy times.
Old Westy times.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Maybe there is one, and we're living it right now.
I'm in the old Westy times right now?
No, it's just a different Westworld.
Oh, so yeah. Everyone around me is a robot?
Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Mm, I know some people I would point a finger at automatically.
I'm right here.
To be robots. Right? I'm just saying, some robots.
If only we could unplug them.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know, in the OG Westworld movie, Westworld was just one of several theme parks. There was like Medieval World.
Oh.
And they were at different time periods for different theme parks. So
I'd want to go to like Flapper World.
I'm sorry, what happened
like
now?
Like Flapper World.
Flapper World?
Like the Roaring Twenties. Like that would be fun.
Stop shaking your hands like that. No one can see you.
I'm doing it for you.
Oh. Flapper World.
Wouldn't that be fun?
They'd have to work on the name, I think. I don't know if Flapper World would sell. Stop dancing like you're in the 20s.
I'm a unicorn.
Right, I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn. You know the thing I miss most about Kevin being on vacation this week? Is tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, man.
Yes.
And I will not get a chance to ask him what state has the most Irish Americans.
I look forward to that every year as well.
It's my favorite annual tradition.
Can we call him? We have to call him.
Listen, buddy, we know you're on vacation, but we just have one quick question for you.
Do we have that? Do we have a little audio?
Do you want the original or do you want the Inception one?
I want them both.
I want them both. Let's do them in order. This is the original from 2 years ago.
It was genius.
Yeah.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
That was a moment.
That was 2 years ago.
Right.
Then last year.
But he learned, though. He learned his lesson after
last
that error.
Last year on St. Patrick's Day, I asked the same trivia question. And I could not believe the answer I got.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
Right, that's the same one. You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
That was a moment.
Caught himself too late. Who knows? Maybe this year he would have said Massachusetts and just ruined it.
No, he wouldn't.
You think? Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because everyone is worried right now.
Why?
Because of the parties, the parades and whatnot, some of the biggest cities, like Boston, like the state of Boston.
Sure.
With all the weather conditions and everything else, that they're worried they're not going to be able to celebrate.
I think they're expecting more snow in Boston this weekend and the parade Sunday.
Boston is the number one ranked city for St. Patrick's Day celebrations.
Well, it should be.
Followed by Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Omaha.
Oh.
Philadelphia.
All right.
And Pittsburgh.
I am surprised by the number of cities on that
list.
Those
are your top five. Those are your top five. New York City, not in the list, by the way.
I've been to New York City during St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Hell of a parade.
Yes.
Other than that, just...
Not much going on?
No.
This is apparently ranked with the following criteria. Traditions, cost, weather, safety, accessibility. These are the top party cities for St. Patrick's Day.
You know who does St. Patrick's Day in a huge way, and it shocks me every year when I see pictures from it? Savannah, Georgia. Huge St. Patrick's Day.
Hmm.
Weird, right?
Very. Didn't know there were a lot of Irish down there. Stop dancing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Griffin's 28 years old today. Alexandra Daddario is 31. By the way, if you missed last hour, Bean was claiming that Alexandra Daddario, the birthday girl, 31 years old today from True Detective, soon to be seen in Baywatch, looks a lot like Eva Amore.
Mm-hmm.
Eva Amore.
Well,
Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Mm-hmm. I did mistake those two actresses.
Right, mm-hmm. Because they look so similar, claimed.
He even sent me a link to all the pictures of her and said, see?
Yeah.
They're young.
No.
Young women of about the same age, mm-hmm. white ladies who are actresses that I'm not super familiar with. Uh-huh. I got them confused. It was an easy mistake to make.
But you claimed it's because they looked so similar.
Mm-hmm. In my mind, I wasn't picturing the right one.
Or the right face. You weren't picturing a face at all.
Go to at Ralph Garman on Twitter, and I posted a picture side by side of the two actresses together. And you tell me why Bean thought they were the same. What was he fixated on?
Boobies.
Right? Bean, be honest. You just thought cans.
Big ones, right?
They certainly have similar physiques, mm-hmm. yes.
That shows you where Bean goes to.
Their faces are really nothing alike.
Nothing alike.
Not a thing.
So different.
They have both of eyes.
They have, yes.
A nose and a mouth.
And hair.
Yes.
They both have hair. But other than that, boobs.
Bean.
So which one's birthday is today?
Alexandra Daddario.
Susan Sarandon's daughter.
Wrong!
No. Oh, wrong again. Okay, gotcha.
Alan Tudyk is 46. Judah Friedlander is 48. Lauren Graham is 50. Flava Flav is 58.
Flava Flav!
Eric Estrada is 68. Victor Garber, also 68. And the legendary Jerry Lewis is 91 years old today.
I'm glad you remembered it.
Well, how could I forget? I think I still owe you money. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk you the showbiz beat.
You can almost set your watch by it a little after 8 a.m. every Thursday morning here on The Kevin Amin Show. We welcome broadcast legend Jim Rome to our airwaves. You can listen to his whole program from 9 till noon at jimrome.com. If you miss any or all of it, why not check out the podcast, Jim Rome's Daily Jungle, play.it and iTunes. Mr. Rome, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Bean, Allie, what's up? Where's
hey,
Kevin?
Jim.
Kevin is on vacation. He sends his regrets, but you'll have him back next week.
No, he didn't.
He really did. That's the one thing he hated to miss all week was talking to the great Jim Rome. But I have to start with the name that came out of nowhere over the past few weeks that all of Southern California is fascinated with. And I hope you'll bring our listeners up to speed as to why we all can't get enough of seeing and talking about LaVar Ball.
LaVar Ball is the father of an incredible young player for UCLA, but he's getting people really riled up, like even Sanchez. Sanchez, with his one email exchange to me a week, says, man, what's with this guy? He's such a D-bag. What's going on? My bottom line on Pops, he's more clown than D-bag, but I think this guy literally, Bean, sits around all day long trying to think of the most ridiculous things he could possibly come up with, mm-hmm. spits it out, watches folks lose their ish, and then waits to see who will interview him next. You know, stuff like, my son Lonzo, he's already better than Steph Curry. How's that taste, chumps? Oh, no, he didn't. And then everybody freaks out and is talking about the old man just the way he likes it. And then he thinks, what can I say now? Oh, I've got it. In my prime, I would have kicked Michael Jordan's ass one-on-one. Holy crap, he went there too. And then ESPN swallows the hook. And the next thing you know, this dude's in studio doing their car wash.
It is unbelievable. And the fact of the matter is it kind of obscures the fact that he really does have a couple of potentially great basketball players in the family. But you almost want to discount their abilities because of how much he oversells it, right?
No, I think you're overthinking it. I don't think so. I don't think it takes anything away from the kids. I don't think it puts any more pressure on his kids. He's just some dude who's trying to get people to look at him and react. I'm telling you, he's going to be next like, hey, you want to talk about Tom Brady? Holmes is just lucky I played basketball, because if I played football, I'd have his Super Bowl rings and his supermodel wife. And unlike that athletic spaz Brady, I wouldn't have to cheat to get him. Believe me, this dude, as long as people are reacting and losing their belief, this dude's just going to keep bumping his gums over and over again.
Now, but does he hurt the kids when he starts talking about things like, yeah, I want endorsement deals from Nike and Under Armour and everybody, and we won't accept anything less than $1 billion? When he says stuff like that, can't companies hold that against the family?
No, I don't think so. Look, if he can make them money, they're going to do what they do. If they think if they're worth any kind of money whatsoever, they're going to back up the Brinks truck and give it to him. I just think everybody's getting all fired up and overreacting to this guy. Who cares, man? He's just some old kook running his mouth, and everybody keeps biting. He's hooking everybody, you included, Bean. Don't pay attention to this guy. That's what he wants.
The only thing I'll say is, and I don't mean this in a political or partisan way at all, is it's almost like he took a page out of the Donald Trump playbook, which is when he was running for president as a candidate, he would just get up on the microphone and say things that were just insane because he knew that it would get nonstop play and do nothing but get him free media.
Right, and it worked. And it worked. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can and because it works. And as long as ESPN runs to this guy, every time he says something crazy, he's going to keep doing it. Like, I've got this theory. I really think he does sit around trying to think of absurd things to say. I once thought to myself, I'm going to get on the show, and Bean, you probably do this every single day. I'm going to get on the show and think of the most absurd thing I could possibly ever say, and I guarantee somebody will believe it and buy it. So I got on my show one day and said, every father wants their daughter to get into porn. And then people freaked out like, you can't say that, Rome. You should be fired. Who would say that? We don't want that. I'm telling you, this is what this guy's doing. He's sitting around all day long thinking of crazy things to say so he can watch everybody freak out. And they do.
Yeah, they do. All right.
Leave it alone, man. Leave it alone. Don't pay attention to the guy.
Let's bump it up from college to pro, if that's what you can call what the Lakers are putting on the floor these days. They are continuing to do what they need to do, which is tank. But they did it in kind of an unusual way this week, right? They benched a couple of guys that people like.
All right, so the update is they went into Operation Shutdown. They told healthy vets Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov to take the rest of the season off so they could tank games to make sure they keep their top three protected draft pick. They want to get their young players as much playing time as possible.
Right,
sure. Sure they don't. Look, it's the right move, though. This isn't the Warriors sitting Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, or Andre Iguodala. The other night, this isn't like Luke Walton just busted up the Showtime Lakers. They're the 20-win Lakers. They're terrible. So, you've got Deng and Mozgov. They're good guys, but they're paying them crazy jack not to work. Trust me, they're fine. They're still getting paid. Good work if you can get it. In fact, we should all get a gig like that, Bean. We should all get that gig. Here's your money. Don't come to work.
That's a pretty good deal right there. I had a friend in the record business years ago who got laid off and had 22 months of severance, Jim. And I thought, man, is that like the best meeting you ever walk out of? 22
Must
months
be nice.
Of getting paid?
Must yeah. be nice. Oh, wait, Allie, did I hear you? Are you there?
That was
Allie?
Wow.
Was that
was
a
just,
sigh?
I was just thinking, wow, people pay people to work? That sounds nice.
Or better yet, they pay them
or not
to work.
Yeah.
Better yet.
Allie, I'm glad you piped up because you've been camping at the bit to get
Jim.
To Jim Rome today because you have a lot, as you always do, you have a lot of Patriots thoughts. What's going on?
A lot of feelings. A lot of moves. Getting Brandon Cooks, Stephon Gilmore, Dwayne Allen, and then, of course, just signing Hightower yesterday. This isn't so Belichick. It's very reminiscent of an old Belichick, and he hasn't been making these moves for years. He's very quiet during free agency. My fear is he's getting this stable because he wants one more ring, and then him and Tom are out. And I don't know if my heart can take it.
You go, Allie. You go, Allie. The Allie Report.
Thank you, Jim.
The Allie Report.
Thanks,
hey, Allie,
Jim.
Weren't you freaking out before the Super Bowl saying that you had a bad feeling about the Pats?
The whole
Real
season
feeling.
She's
How'd
been
bad feeling.
Every Monday she'd come in
out?
And say her Patriots were not right, and
I
yet they
still
had won again.
I feel like, listen, Hightower wanted out. I think Blunt wants out. Bennett wanted out. There's
Allie.
Something going on
Allie.
That's not right.
They
but...
won it all, Allie, right? They won it all, and I'm here to tell you, Allie. I'm here to tell you, they already won next year's Super Bowl too. Back to back, baby. Or in the words of NBA legend Dirk Nowitzki, shut it down, let's go home.
Oh! Shut it down! Let's go home!
Allie, seriously, which of the two meant more to you? The one where they came back to punk the Falcons or the next one where they defended that title? Which one did you like better?
I know.
Trust me, Allie. Relax. What Belichick has done this past week in free agency, you're right. He never does this. But because of what he's done, you can go ahead and cancel next season.
And that's my point. I feel like he's just doing this so he can have his one last hurrah. And
he can win another one.
But then he's going to retire.
I'm not going to let you, as a fan, be upset that you're going to win another Super Bowl.
I just feel like Bill is saying goodbye. It's a long goodbye.
Then let him retire.
It's very sad.
Then let him go.
No, I don't want you
Allie.
To go, Bill.
Wow, it's not going to happen yet. Fire up the duck boats. Rename Belichick's boat once again. Get ready for another awkward presser with Brady and Goodell because they're going to run this thing back again. They're going to run it back again. Relax, Allie.
It's going to be a very long season next year. Allie's already depressed about her Super Bowl winning Super Bowl champion.
Man, take it easy, Allie.
All right. Jim, when you get on your air for your program in about 45 minutes or so, will you be watching NCAA basketball while you broadcast today?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What a legend.
I'm going to pull Kevin and just go on vacation in the middle of the show.
We
all get sick. Like, I'm going to miss any games. Come on.
He will be multitasking it up at jimrome.com from 9 till noon. And don't forget.
Who wants to know that? You or Sanchez? Because if that's a Sanchez question, I should have never answered that.
Play.it or iTunes for the podcast. Jim, have a great week. We'll do it again next time. Thanks.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
He is
feisty today, right?
He is on fire. All right. Las Vegas, y'all. We're going to be there. Is this right? Is this a week from tomorrow night?
Yeah.
We're going to be in Las Vegas?
Sure is.
Holy cow. It's our first singles party in years, you guys, and we're doing it right with the Marchica Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party. If you are 21 and up, we want you to be there with us. And please, if you would, bring a member of the same sex. We're trying to keep the numbers the same. We're talking about a party at the Alto Bar at Caesars Palace on Friday night, March 24th, plus a two-night hotel stay at the Link Hotel, round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Party Bus, brought to you courtesy of Chips, the buddy cop comedy starring Dax Shepard and Michael Pena, opening that same day, March 24th. Miss Allie McKay, what are we looking for this time around?
We're looking for your craziest Vegas stories. The whole thing with what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, not true in this segment.
Not
the
today.
The crazier, the better. But obviously, we want them to be true.
So, in other words, if you and your buddies went to Las Vegas one time and you woke up in the fountain out in front of Caesars, that's what we want to hear about.
That wouldn't happen to someone, would it?
If you got locked out of your room in Las Vegas in only your underwear, that's the kind of story we're looking for.
That's the kind of story, yeah.
So what happened to you in Las Vegas that makes you want to go back for a little bit of redemption? That's what we're looking. If you're single and want to join us in Las Vegas next weekend, give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Harvey Danger on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, LANOC's alternative rock. What is it about Las Vegas? Look, I know that people go there and they drink more than they should, Ralph.
That's right, man.
What is it about Las Vegas that makes people do things in a million years they would never do if they were as drunk but at home?
Because it is the premise of that town. It gives you the promise of all bets are off. No pun intended. The shackles of responsibility are removed. The town is built on no inhibitions. Letting your true id just run amok.
Just go for it.
Is it the id or the ego? Whichever one runs amok, that one in you will just be unchecked. And that's why people go there. And that's in their minds on the plane there. They're saying, when I get there, I am going to lose the better part of myself. And I'm going to act like an animal.
I'm not the guy who has to wear the suit to work. I'm a party animal.
Yes,
right.
And that's the allure of Vegas. That's the promise that when you get there, you'll be able to just serve all your baser instincts and all your guttural needs and desires will be placated.
Well,
yummy.
As we, you do make it sound sexy with words like placated.
Thank you.
As we sold for calls at 1-800-520-1067, we're trying to load up the party bus to head out to Las Vegas. We're looking for you and your guests to be 21 and up and want to join us for Kevin and Bean's Marchica Bow Wow Vegas Singles Party a week from tomorrow night. The phones just exploded. Apparently, everyone who's ever been to Las Vegas has a story.
Of course. Only you go to see your dad and have a nice buffet.
Everyone else goes
and has a good time.
Excuse me, just so you know, no buffet this time. The day after our singles party, my dad and I are going to the new Cracker Barrel that just opened up.
Oh,
wow.
Sweet Jesus.
So don't think I don't already have plans for the Las Vegas weekend, all right?
Oh, Lord.
Let's start with Chris. He's in L.A. He's on line one. I think if this story is what I think it is, this is exactly what we're looking for and exactly the kind of person we need on the bus. Chris, welcome to the show. What happened to you in Las Vegas, my friend?
I woke up from my room from a phone call from security that alerted me that I would be allowed back into the casino and that I could come to the security cage to collect my personal affairs.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Did that trigger any sort of memory for you?
Not really. Not at all.
Well, yeah. What had you done when you got down to the security cage? What did you find out?
Well, I knocked on the door, and the guy opened the door and looked at me, and I gave him my name, and he said, oh, he's here. He said, come in. I walked to the front, and they had about 1,500 monitors, and what they played back for me was me losing about 5 hands of blackjack in a row, calmly standing up, unbuttoning my shirt, folding it, and putting it on the table,
and promptly announcing there he's going to have the damn shirt off my back and walking away, leaving a bunch of money in my shirt on the table.
Standing O!
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris is one of ours.
That's
right?
Spectacular, Chris.
We will give you a chance to win back that money at Blackjack. We'll see you in Las Vegas next weekend, Chris. Please hold on for the details. Thank you. Let's go
to Burbank Live 2.
That's awesome, by the way, that he got to see it on the casino. Yeah.
I hope they burned you a home copy so you could take the DVD home.
That'd be fun. All right, Tally is up next. How are you, my dear?
Hi, good morning, party people.
Hey, Tally.
So what happened?
Good morning. So my sister and I went to Vegas, and we woke up the next morning, and we were super hungover. And we had to check out of our hotel room, so we called for some wheelchairs to come up and get us. So they send up, like, a firefighter and a cop that are wheeling us down, and my sister was underage at the time, so they were kind of suspicious, like, were you guys drinking? Like, what happened? Why are you so sick? We're like, oh, no, we really just had the stomach flu. So they wheel us down to the lobby where there are, like, a ton of people down there. And then my sister ends up throwing up all over the cop's shoes. So they definitely smelled alcohol on us.
Sister threw up on a cop.
That is not what you were – that is not a success, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. All right. Tally, are you feeling that you recovered well enough to join us next weekend?
I think I can make it.
Yeah, your sister, too. She's having a party.
She really does.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for calling. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Ventura.
Before we go to the next one, can you imagine being a policeman in Vegas?
No.
Can you imagine what they have to deal with every day on the job?
Yeah.
God bless them. All right, go ahead.
Let's go to Brittany. She's on line three. She's up next on the Kevin Vincho. You're just joining us. We're giving away tickets for next weekend's singles party in Las Vegas. Brittany, your Vegas story is what?
Viva Las Vegas. So me and my buddy were going to the MGM pool. It was all sold out. Mm-hmm. We hopped the wall and snuck in through the back where the DJ booth was and like the alcohol thing, and we got caught by security.
Oh.
But I lied my way out of it.
What did you say to security when they caught you hopping a wall?
Yeah, how do you lie your way out of that?
So I was kind of scanning everyone around, and everyone had these bright orange wristbands, and of course they're asking where our wristbands were.
Right.
And I was like, oh, one of the workers just came and took the wristband and took $100 from us and said they would give us VIP alcohol if we gave them the wristband.
And they fell for it?
They fell for it. They're actually calling on all their walkie-talkies and looking for this six-foot, spiky hair, just some guy made up out of the top of my head.
She created an international incident, you guys, to get out of that.
That's some quick lying, Tad.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
So, good,
did they let you hang and you were able to party there?
So then they go, let's go to the front and we'll just redeem your ticket. And the lady at front collecting everyone's ticket was like, oh, no, we can't do it that way. Okay, well, let's just go look at security camera. Radios, Eagle, can you look at security camera number blah, blah, blah.
So the story's falling apart now.
I start freaking out. I'm like, Richard, I knew we shouldn't have came here. This is the worst. And I start crying.
They got the Eagle involved.
The Eagle was involved.
At what point did you just tear ass and start running?
Well, so it took about 15 minutes to get a hold of Eagle. Finally, the guy turns to us and he goes, you know what? I'm really sorry this happened. We're going to investigate. You two just have fun.
Oh,
there you go. That's the happy ending we were looking for.
A lot of work for a pool party, but you did it.
I just love any girl who will try to hop a wall is awesome, I think. All right. You're in. We'll see you next weekend. Let's do one more, you guys, and let's make it Mike in Torrance, line 7. You guys hang on if we didn't get to your call, because I think we might have a couple of extra tickets we can give away off the air. Mike, you're up. Our final call. What's going on, dude?
Cool. Okay. I was in MGM for a bachelor party. We're partying at the club, and the next morning I wake up and I come to, and I'm taking a dump in the stairwell, and...
Hold on a sec. You woke up while you were pooping?
Yes. I blacked out. You know, typical bachelor party. Blacked out, and then the next morning I kind of came to in the stairwell, taking a poo on the stairwell.
What about that, you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. We're all full up. The party's all full up. Sorry about that.
My wallet. I was at the wrong hotel.
Yeah.
Wait, did we say Las Vegas next weekend? No, no. We meant last weekend.
No,
we don't have any room.
Out of time. Thanks for calling, though. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on Q-Rock at 8:54. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up right after the top of the hour. And look, I know we talk to Dr. Drew every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
This may be the most important and most significant interview we ever do with Dr. Drew, because he is going to prep you so that you don't end up dead tomorrow night for St. Patrick's Day. He's going to figure out a way. What? Why are you laughing?
It's just awesome. He's going to help us not die on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, because there are a lot of people who may be overdue a little bit for St. Patrick's
Day. He's going to say, so don't drink.
I don't think he's going to say that. I think Dr. Drew is fine with the party.
Don't do heroin. Don't do bath salts.
But we're going to
such a buzzkill.
Right?
But we're going to run by him some of the things that we have heard are supposed to help so that you don't get as drunk, and some of the things that you're supposed to do either before or after that are supposed to relieve your hangover, and find out what's medically accurate and what's just an old wives' tale.
I hope Drew says we should do coke so we don't get super drunk.
Right? Well, that's how you even it out.
Yeah.
Let's ask him.
Okay.
That's a great
buzzed
question.
On booze, and then you do a couple lines and it straightens you out to get back to zero again, and then
now,
you
is that medically
more?
Sound as far as you know, Ralph?
Of course it's medically sound. It's all medicinal.
Okay.
Cocaine is medicine.
Well,
it's science.
So is alcohol. Alcohol, you ever go to a hospital? What do they have bottles and bottles of? Alcohol.
Well, that's true.
They're always rubbing
true.
It on stuff.
Right on your skin, yeah.
Okay, Ralph.
All right. We'll talk to Dr. Drew coming up first. And don't forget your Panic at the Disco tickets as well after the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Speaking of rubbing yourself, Pornhub's in the news.
Yeah.
Did you know today is National Panda Day?
Yeah. It's a huge day. It's a national trend right now. It's a big deal.
Stop it.
Okay.
It's National Panda Day.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem with pandas. They're not known for their sex prowess. They have a hard time getting these animals to mate and to procreate.
I didn't know that.
It is true. Males spend most of their time sleeping and eating. And females are only interested in sex a few days out of the year. So they're not really good at keeping their population numbers up.
Huh.
So scientists have found a way to excite the little creatures with panda porn. We've covered this story before, but they show them panda porn. Pandas getting it on, and that inspires them.
Okay.
Makes them a little bit friskier. Increases their chances that they will to breed. Here's the problem. There's not enough good panda porn to go around. So Pornhub has stepped up today, and they're asking you to make your own panda-inspired porn and upload it to their site. So if you want to put on a full-blown panda suit and have sex,
okay,
they're saying that's cool. Or if you just want to use black and white body paint, for example, that's cool.
Right.
And so for everyone who donates a clip of themselves engaging in panda-inspired porn, Pornhub will donate $100 to panda preservation nonprofit organizations.
I'm just going to say Pornhub has been doing some great work lately. I don't know if you knew this. A couple days ago when they had the nor'easter that went through on the northeast, hence nor'easter, they were giving away free plows to people in Jersey and Boston. You just called them and they would come plow you.
They come plow you.
How great is that?
They'd plow your driveway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
The back driveway, too?
I'm sure if you
ask. Back driveway, they plow your back driveway?
They do it, sure.
They do it the back way, too?
I don't think it's just the front. They do both.
That's great.
I think that's great. Pornhub, doing great work.
Yeah. $100 for every porn, panda porn clip that is uploaded to their site.
Okay.
And then 1 cent per view of those clips as well through April 16th.
That adds up.
I mean,
so all this charity money will go to panda preservation nonprofit organizations.
Pornhub.
So panda, 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 panda.
So I'm saying, dress up like a panda and start boning and film it. Send it to me for notes. I'll critique it. I'll punch it up a little bit. Maybe give you some ideas.
And then
we'll move it on to Pornhub. And then what do you know?
That's fantastic. We'll save
some pandas, right?
Guys, I have a question I'm going to regret asking.
My God.
No, this is, I have to know. Mm-hmm. Our producer Dave is, for some reason, obsessed with pandas.
Where do you think I got this story, by the way? Who do you think handed me this story in the hallway?
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Dave has more than one panda suit.
And I got him the best one for Christmas.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I got him one for Christmas 1 year as well.
Oh, I have panda suits.
My question is, when's Dave wearing the panda suit, if you take my meaning? I mean, is it possible that that's what's going on at Dave's house? is that he's putting on the panda suit and then maybe taking off the panda suit. You know what I'm saying?
What's up?
Oh. What do you guys think? You guys know Dave, and you know his love of pandas. Is it possible that those two collide in the bedroom?
He's practically a panda now.
Right.
You look at him, really, just without a suit on.
Right.
He's very panda-esque.
Yeah.
With the hair and
he's
the facial hair.
Yeah. That's true.
And the bamboo.
The bamboo he's always gnawing on. And the sort of jolly, round behavior.
And he certainly sleeps enough.
Right? He sleeps and eats and rolls around and grabs things with all four of his paws.
He's a panda.
He's kind of panda-esque.
Panda, panda. Panda, panda. Panda, panda. Panda.
What I want to know is if I shoot a video of me having sex with an actual panda, will they donate more money per clip?
No.
Will they,
no.
Instead of like $100
no.
donated,
that's,
will
no.
they donate like
$500? That's not okay.
Because I'm going the extra mile.
Okay.
I'm actually giving it to a panda.
Fast forward to Ralph being arrested jumping a fence at the zoo today.
I mean, Ralph.
What?
Why'd you have to sully
panda
porn?
Pandas need love too?
From other pandas.
She would be so lucky to get me, by the way.
She?
Yeah, she. What do you think, I'm a pervert? Asshole. Excuse me.
Alex Jones keeps popping in.
Alex, please. I'm trying to do a show here. Today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Griffin's 28 years old today. He's a good basketball player.
Except for last night. I understand he blew a shot at the end of the game.
Excuse me? Speaking last night, Chip, congratulations to your Ducks. Good game last night.
Yeah, thank you. They've
been against the Blues. That was pretty strong.
The last few weeks, they've come on really strong.
Yeah.
So we're playing the Sabres tonight, so that should go well.
Flyers blanked the Pens last night, by the
I
way.
Saw that
4-0.
Too.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
That'll help you get into the...
All we need is like 100 more points, and we're going to get in the playoffs. Alexandra Daddario, the lovely and talented actress, is 31 years old today. Soon to be seen in Baywatch. Can't wait for that film. Looks very funny. Alan Tudyk is 46. Judah Friedlander is 48. Lauren Graham is 50. Eric Estrada is 68. Victor Garber also 68. Flavor Flav! 58 years old today. And the legendary actor, writer, director, comedian extraordinaire, Jerry Lewis.
Believing that performers should be moved to tears by their own songs, a woman whose songs speak for all women and says it couldn't hurt if men listen. If men listened to songs that couldn't hurt by women... Women should know that the difference in music is a diabolical change in their own inertia.
Okay.
Right?
You got that?
What the hell?
That's how you live to be 91 years old today with that kind of brain, that kind of logic. Right. What are you yucking Jerry Lewis for? Oh, what now, Conspiracy Alley? What has he done? Did he kill somebody? Did he push someone off a cruise liner? Whatever.
If I tell you, you'll be doing it.
That's
right?
True. If you do tell us, we'll be doing it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We played that song a couple of weeks ago, Allie, and you gasped when you heard it on the radio.
It was my song of the year. When we did the whole thing at the end of the year, that was my song of the year. I love that album. I love the 1975.
It's real good.
Good night. It's real good.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to LA and OC's Alternative Rock, and congratulations to Ian Jenkins from Cyprus. Just won tickets for Panic at the Disco, sold out at the Fabulous Forum on March the 28th, and it's now in the grand prize drawing. We'll do Monday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show for the Panic at the Disco Home Invasion. So Ian might actually have that band come to his house and play live. Your chance to win is coming up. All right, time, as we do every week about this time, to catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, drdrew.com, for all of his podcasts, including his daily show with Adam Carolla. Also, don't forget Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, noon till 3 on 790 KABC. And you boys have a live appearance coming up on the 23rd at the Ice House in Pasadena. Dr. Drew, what's that all about? What's the live Dr. Drew and Mike experience like?
Well, it's, you know, Rudy shows up and Javier shows up. And, and as much as anything else, we want people to come. It's 8 o'clock, March 23rd. It's a Thursday night. Be at the Ice House. And we want to interact with people, sort of bring back a little Loveline vibe. And people that miss Loveline, this is a chance to ask questions. And
that's what I was going to ask, is if do people stand up and give you their questions about their bodies and about romance and things like that? You guys deal with it live in person.
They do. They tend to. They don't really necessarily stand up. They sort of shrink in their seats. But, yes, they do. And you mentioned Mike and my relationship. I this is ringing in my ears since the mics were not yet heated up. But before the We went to air. Bean, you mentioned something that I just you spun my head a little bit, that Mike would gladly have sex with me if I agreed to. Is that what you said?
What I'm saying is that Mike's love for you is pure and complete, and it goes beyond just, hey, we're friends, or even beyond, hey, we're a man crush. I'm saying he's deeply in love with you, and I think Mike would like to consummate that relationship.
Well, first of all, you'll have to come on March 23rd to see how that really plays out in real life, number one. But number two, what's troubling about that, Bean, I thought, yeah, we are very affectionate. We like each other, but Mike has sex with, like, furniture and drywall.
That's true.
So it's not exactly a high mark to read.
Yeah,
not a compliment.
Not really a compliment. Okay. All right. Your point is taken. Well, listen, Doc, I'm glad we have you on now, because we are heading into this weekend of St. Patrick's Day, which is potentially a very dangerous weekend, particularly for amateur drinkers. And we thought this might be a good time to get a reset button on people should be making plans, what kinds of things people should be keeping in mind ahead of heading out, to make sure that they don't end up as a binge drinker or with the world's worst hangover. And I'm sure you hear questions about this all the time in your practice about alcohol. Like, how much can I drink and how bad is it for me and what can I do to not be hungover? Give me an overview of what your advice is for a weekend like this one.
Well, I mean, you're like asking me, Bean, how can I drive dangerously safely? And so, you know, ultimately you want to minimize what it is you're
Yeah, thing one, let's all just start with that, is nobody drives if they drink this weekend. Let's make that deal first.
Yeah, and perhaps, and listen, in every other, particularly in adolescent young adulthood, every other unwanted medical outcome you can measure, like unwanted pregnancies and STDs and sexual assaults and physical assaults and accidents, you find alcohol. So just remember that. And, of course, it's never alcohol at low levels. I mean, if you drink 3 glasses of wine across 5 hours, that's a modest ingestion, but you're not going to be intoxicated. You're not going to be at risk for all these things. You're not going to hurt yourself. But if you really go on a binge and drink four drinks in an hour, you got to remember alcohol is a potential neurotoxin. It's one of the only drugs that people use routinely that's a carcinogen. And so, all right, having said all that, obviously moderate yourself, pace yourself. But a couple of things you can do, magnesium. Magnesium is a very important molecule when you're trying to deal with alcohol ingestions.
And what's it? Where do you get magnesium?
You just get in supplements. It's pretty easy to get.
So literally take that before you go out. Is that what you're saying?
Well, or if you overdo it, really. I'm not sure it's a pregame so much.
Okay, gotcha.
And hydration. You've heard that before. I actually wanted to create a. This was not intended to be a commercial. I do reads on the podcast for this product called Hydrolite, which is a rehydrating product that obviates the need for IV fluids if you can tolerate oral fluids. It really rehydrates you at the same level as if you took an IV, which is why I get on your, who is it, Kevin, that was defending the IV therapies?
And yes.
No. I mean, yes, you can do that if you want to. That's another way to recover.
This is a pill?
They have a tablet, which I really like, fizzes. And I used it to recover from my colonoscopy. Good times. but it's a very common in Australia, and it's finally come over here. And the professional organization there was saying we should try to really use oral replacement as much as possible. And now we have these products out there.
Interesting.
And then you want to get your B vitamins also. It's a good idea to do that. Some people report some improvement with Tylenol or anti-inflammatories. But if you're really a big drinker, then Tylenol can be actually hepatotoxic. It can damage your liver. So
If
you've been a regular drinker, be very careful with the Tylenol. And the same thing is true with the non-steroidals like Advil or Motrin. Those can erode your stomach and cause ulcers. And your stomach's already sometimes inflamed with something called alcohol gastritis. You have to be very careful with these things.
Such a buzzkill.
Which is another note people don't think about. Another way you can get magnesium is with Maalox and antacids, Gaviscon, things like that. And those are not a bad idea before you go to bed, because alcohol wreaks havoc on your stomach and esophagus.
Now, all alcohol is not alike either, right? It makes a huge difference when you're drinking beer versus gin and tonic, right?
Well, it makes a difference in terms of the rate at which it hits your brain. But if you're drinking beer fast, you can get pretty close to approximating what you can do with gin. Presumably you're not tipping a handle of gin down.
Right.
But, I would argue that it's the rate at which the alcohol hits your bloodstream. That's what you have to think about. And it's sort of a myth to say, well, if I drink wine or I drink beer, I don't have to worry about it. It depends on the rate at which you're drinking it, how much you drink.
We are talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky here on the Kevin Bean Show with some tips for safer St. Patrick's Day weekend drinking. What about soaking it up with food? Is there any truth to that, that if I start to eat a lot of bread in between my drinks, I'll be okay?
No, that may help your stomach a little bit from standpoint of the gastritis that sometimes develops, or even ulcers. But no, it is is a myth.
Do get drunker off an empty stomach.
Again, that may have more to do with the rate at which it's hitting your bloodstream, perhaps. But for the most part, that effect, in my understanding, that effect is nominal.
What if I mix in a little cocaine to keep me sober?
Well, funny you should say that. I'm glad you mentioned that, Alex.
Thank you.
Really?
That generates a substance or a molecule called cocaethylene. And cocaethylene is a longer-acting, more potent version of cocaine, and actually has been shown to have some cardiotoxicity and be associated with sudden death.
Oh,
well, that's not what we're looking for.
That's a no?
That sounds like a no.
Okay, all right.
It's a big party for you this weekend, all right?
That's how my people do it.
Let's never go to Dr. Drew for tips on partying. All right, last question for you, Doc, and this is, this has been around for a lot longer than I have. I've heard it my whole life. The hair of the dog, is that a good approach if you wake up the next morning and you're just feeling terrible? Have another drink, and that'll kind of ease you into feeling better rather than worse.
Well, it's another interesting question. You guys obsess about this stuff too much. That's a bad sign.
That's also bad?
It works, but it's a bad sign. You got to remember, a significant component of the hangover is alcohol withdrawal. That's a lot of what you're experiencing there. And so the reason that another drink obviates or diminishes the hangover is because you're now putting the drug back in your system and you're not in withdrawal anymore.
So you're saying just keep drinking.
So, don't ever stop.
Don't ever stop. All right, that's going to be
and
the takeaway.
And add cocaine. Add cocaine. That's
someone is going to find that clip, Drew, and then you're screwed. Why do
you do this? As has happened to you so many times in the past.
Yes.
All right, drdrew.com for all the podcasts and live appearances, including the one coming up in Pasadena at the Ice House with his friend Mike Catherwood. Tickets are on sale now for that at 8 p.m.
Friend
on the 23rd.
Friend and lover,
right. And, of course, look for the boys on the radio from noon till 3 on 790 KABC. Have a safe and happy St. Patrick's Day weekend, Dr. Drew. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock, KROQ.
Rodney.
And you're listening to Rodney on the Rock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the Adult Net doing Edie.
No doubt.
I could tell you a story about that. The girl singing, her name is Brex Smith.
It was Gwen Stefani.
So one time I had a video show, I was hosting a video show called Notes from the Underground, and we filmed it in my apartment.
That's not a video show.
And Susanna Hoffs.
What?
Was in pajamas.
I was in my pajamas. That was not a video show.
It's
a penthouse
letter.
We had
a pajama party as we're doing this video show.
No, you didn't.
It's called Notes from the Underground. I don't know. You might be able to find it
on YouTube
or somewhere. Notes from the Underground.
It's black and white.
And I once did a host request video, too, and their anniversary is coming up. Anyway, I got more music and things to play coming up right after the Monkees.
More Monkees?
I want to hear about him filming a pajama party with Susanna Hoffs.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
The guides of a video show.
Yeah, no, come on over to my apartment. I'm having a video show.
Mm-hmm. Here, put these pajamas on. The cameras are hidden. You can't see them. It's a hidden camera show.
I had no idea Rodney had such game.
Oh, yeah. Kidding me?
Hey, it's 9:39. It's a Thursday morning. We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
He's packing, too.
Oh, God.
Right?
I just... No.
They call him Rodney Biggenhammer. Right?
Is that his porn name?
Right?
I did not see that coming.
Nor did I.
Yeah.
Nor did Susanna Hoffs, by the way.
That's right. All right, let me give you something, people, because you're nice and you put up with our shenanigans, and I don't know how you do it. So once in a while, I like to throw you some tickets to something cool, and this is one of those moments. How about the K-Rock advanced screening of Life?
Yay!
Life, baby. Bing, bing, ding, 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 ding. Right?
I didn't love it.
Oh.
Asshole.
Excuse me. Sorry. Alex is really upset with me, I think, after that phone call. It sounded like it. Pair pass at the K-Rock's advanced screening of Life. Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, Rebecca Ferguson, all star in a movie about going to Mars and then picking up a bug.
it's like an STD from Mars or something, and then bad things happen. So that's why you don't want to go to Mars, people. I tried to tell you this earlier in the week. Do not
God
go to Mars.
Goddamn them to hell.
Right? Martians are no good. Except for John Johns. He's pretty cool. Over there on Supergirl. He's the Martian Manhunter. Nobody? All right.
He's committed to Satan.
He's not. He's the DOA.
He loves betraying people. He gets off on it.
No, he doesn't. He saves us. He works with Supergirl, and he saves us from aliens.
The guy's on fire with sniveling evil.
Actually, Martians are... Their weakness is fire.
Really?
Oh, I hate that guy right there.
You hate the Martian Manhunter?
I can't judge him. Only God can do that. But he is a perfect case point example of what we don't want to be.
I beg to differ. Let's give away these tickets. K-Rock's advanced screening of Life on March 22nd at the ArcLight Hollywood, one of my favorite places to see a movie. Let's give away five pair right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number. We got a pair of passes to see Life.
I'm tired of you writing checks you can't cash, bro.
Sorry, man. Bro. My brother. Selena Gomez. I'm worried about her. I'm just concerned. I have Selena Gomez feelings.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's had some issues with the glug, 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 glug.
Yeah, I think
she's been sober for a while, though, now?
Yes, well, she was. But now in this, she's in this relationship with The Weeknd.
It's just The Weeknd.
And folks are telling people in In Touch Weekly and other magazines that during a recent concert event of his in Paris, she was just drinking nonstop all night long, partying all night long. He is not a great influence, they're saying.
Selena. Selena, over here. Selena. Selena. God damn it.
That's what we're saying, Selena. God damn it. Don't fall under his spell.
Huh.
Emma Watson. She's not putting up with anybody's BS. Love her. She is the latest victim of celebrity hacking. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, but there was...
Yeah, weren't there a bunch of them this time?
Bunch of personal photos of hers that were stolen via her computer of her trying on various outfits at a clothing fitting she had with a stylist a couple of years ago. They are being posted online. Now, they're not nudes, but they are embarrassing, and she doesn't want to deal with this. So she has threatened legal action, and she is looking to prosecute anyone who uses the pictures, posts the pictures, or, of course, they're also searching for the person who stole the pictures. So,
well, I wish her luck.
Standing up for herself.
Even if they weren't embarrassing, they're private, and she's allowed to have privacy.
Absolutely. And Leah Remini, our buddy Leah Remini, has some good news. Just announced from the A&E Network, they have picked up another season of her docuseries, Scientology and the Aftermath. She tells The Hollywood Reporter, the way the organization has responded without taking responsibility for what they do, I need to continue. It would be another scenario that if they stopped trying to discredit everyone else's stories and said, if you don't like it, don't be a part of Scientology. But they don't. So as long as they keep attacking and trying to tear down people, she said she will do the show as long as A&E will have her. So.
I'm a little bit surprised that their response has not... I mean, I know they've come out and denied everything she said on the TV, but I'm surprised they haven't even been more forceful with her, like threatening to sue her and things like that. But I guess she's got the truth on her side as her defense.
Well, I think they do it very surreptitiously. They don't court a lot of publicity when they do their legal action. They try to intimidate and have the people back down without looking like they're guilty of those actions. So I think even if they are, and I believe that they are, I think they have been pressuring both A&E and Leah to stop that. They don't do it in a very public way. They try to make sure that their message is received one way or the other.
Well, keep fighting the good fight, Leah.
Yeah. New Weezer. You like the Weezer?
I like the Weezer very much.
Yesterday they just dropped a new single from their forthcoming album that'll be out this summer. The new single is called Feels Like Summer. It's available on Spotify and Apple Music and other sources, but you can also get it on YouTube, where the video is. That's where I found this. Here's a little taste of the new Weezer song, Feels Like Summer.
I'm holding on, and I don't want to let you go. Oh, it feels like
they're good.
It's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it.
I'm going to go get it. That's the keeper right there.
Weezer's good.
Mm-hmm. They really are. And they seem to be in such a prolific period in their history right now. Just one album right after another.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Blake Griffin from your Los Angeles Clippers. He is 28 years old today. Alexandra Daddario is 31, so to be seen in Baywatch. Looks nothing like Ava Amore, by the way.
What movie?
She'll be in Baywatch, Jerry.
Yep.
Yeah. Alan Tudyk is 46 years old today.
No.
Yes, yes, he is. We double-checked.
Why?
We double-checked it, and we know that he is.
1947.
No, not when he was born. Judah Friedlander is 48 years old today.
Not at all.
Yes, he absolutely is. Lauren Graham is 50.
No.
Yes. Eric Estrada is 68.
No.
So is Victor Garber.
He's great.
he is great, by the way. Flavor Flav!
Yep.
He's 58 years old. And you yourself, Jerry Lewis. You are celebrating 91 years today. It's your
I'm glad you remembered it.
Well, it's my pleasure. I mean, I'm happy.
Hey, do you remember when Allie and Jerry did a sex tape?
I don't remember that.
Oh, for the love. Really? Don't do this to the people.
I didn't know that.
I'll show you some material. You'll know.
Oh, God.
Do it well.
Oh, yeah.
No.
G-g-ga.
Dusty cowtown.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Just as hard.
Smell it.
It was terrific.
Yes.
All right, clean it out of here.
Lady Gaga!
Get a day job.
I mean...
You did the Dusty Cowtown?
We did. I was embarrassed to talk about
no
it, but...
Idea.
Yeah.
Well, I know you like older
That's
men.
That's great, Miguel. That was terrific.
That McKay.
That was Allie, actually. That wasn't Miguel.
Ralph Garman, I wasn't sure to speak.
Hope you and Jerry have fun celebrating his number 91 tonight, Allie. SoCal Help a Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 right here on the world-famous K-Rock. I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking that tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show is looking pretty decent. James Gunn will be here.
Mm. Oh, the Belko experiment.
He's that? He's Guardians of the Galaxy, too, don't you know?
Vol 2's coming out soon.
Yeah. Guy knows what he's doing when he's making movies, so that should be a lot of fun, and that movie does look awesome.
It is.
Ralph, your old friend Andy Dick stopping by the Kevin and Bean show tomorrow.
Love the Dick man.
He is a fascinating guy.
Yes.
I love the Dick.
Yes.
Man.
We all do.
Friday means we got the Movie Beat, of course. We got more tickets for April Foolishness to give away. That show is on sale now at AXS.com. If you'd like to join us at the Shrine, we're raising a lot of money for great charities this year, and you get a chance to see a lot of great comedians on that night. April 1st at the Shrine. Buy your tickets now. We'll have more to give away on the program tomorrow. Also, next weekend, we're going to be in Las Vegas. It's the Kevin Bean Singles Party. We got tickets for that to give away. And tomorrow, we're going to get into a fascinating topic. We met a private investigator this week. And the stories that he is telling about the types of things that he uncovers when he is hired to be a private investigator, I think are fascinating. And, Ralph, you said you had dreamed at one time as a young man about wanting to be a PI when you grew up.
Yeah, that was my life goal. I was going
Let's
to
find
a
out how much fun it is by talking to private investigators tomorrow about the kind of work that they do. So that should be a lot of fun, too. That's all tomorrow right here for St. Patrick's Day on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. See you then.